information today, and if you would like to be on the show and spread some of your good information, you can certainly do that by contacting me anytime you'd like, tomorrow at KRXA540.com. Have a fantastic Monday. We'll see you tomorrow, and thanks again, Kirsten.
Thank you.
You have been nice thinking of me, missing my arms, but you needed to leave, leaving my car.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Everything from helicopters to boats to that hovercraft have been used to rescue people in North Texas from floodwaters. Huge toad strangler storms brought the water, which has killed at least three people. KRLD's Matt Thomas.
The floodwaters have receded here, and a lot of people are going back to their homes and businesses. And in many cases, everything inside has been lost. A lot of damage here. Everyone that we've spoken to here in Gainesville to say that they have just never seen anything like this and have never had to undertake a cleanup effort like they're going to have to after this flood.
For some folks, the feeling is just forlorn.
I'm real upset. My house, you know, I've been there 2 months and everything just messed up. I mean, we can't afford anything. I mean, we only know where we're going to go tonight.
The U.S. is lifting sanctions against the Palestinian government now that Hamas, officially seen as a terror organization, has taken over half of the Palestinian territories, Gaza, by force. Secretary of State Rice.
We intend to lift our financial restrictions on the Palestinian government, which has accepted previous agreements with Israel and rejects the path of violence.
President Bush will be talking about what to do about Gaza with Israeli Prime Minister Olmert tomorrow. The situation's only getting worse in African nations. CBS's foreign affairs analyst Pamela Falk says there's a dubious distinction for Iraq.
That is a very troublesome conclusion of this report, that Iraq and Sudan and the Darfur conflict are on practically the same footing in terms of being failed states.
A report from the Fund for Peace and Foreign Policy magazine says Sudan and seven other sub-Saharan countries are among the 10 most vulnerable in the world to internal conflict and deteriorating conditions. Women with diabetes, the news is not very encouraging.
Death rates among men and women without diabetes are falling significantly. Same thing for men with diabetes. But an Annals of Internal Medicine study finds no decline among women with the disease. Centers for Disease Control researcher Edward Gregg.
It does raise a question to us about whether the effective treatments for men and women with diabetes that we know exist, whether they're getting to women in the same way and whether they're being effective in women.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Difficult to get your mind around the horror of the night for this family. One scream split the darkness, and an 11-year-old boy was gone, dragged from his family's campsite by a black bear in the Wasatch Mountains of Utah.
The bear went into the tent, ripped a hole in the tent, probably smelling, not knowing what it had, grabbed the sleeping bag, and drugged the young man out.
Conservation Outreach Manager Scott Root says the bear was surely looking for food made scarce by the hot, dry weather. That bear is dead, by the way, shot by wildlife officers who chased the bear cross-country with as many as 26 dogs in the hunt. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 26.5 points, NASDAQ off a fraction, oil $69.09 a barrel, up $1.09. This is CBS News.
So you're in the market for a good used car but have no idea where to look. Well, I can take the angst out of your auto search. Honda Certified Used Cars. First, it's a Honda. They kind of corner the market on reliability. Second, they're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then is backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda Certified Used Cars. The next best thing to new. And then some.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Duke University has settled cases with three former lacrosse players wrongly accused of rape. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The undisclosed amount of money Duke University is giving to the families of the three former lacrosse players cleared of rape charges will help pay legal bills, which ran into the millions. In a statement, the school says it regrets the terrible year the three have had to endure. In a joint statement, they express hope the school will begin to mend.
Reed Seligman, Colin Finnerty, and Dave Evans were called most of the names in the book, and there were marches of anger on campus. The university canceled the lacrosse season, and they didn't do it. The world's oldest man, far as anyone knows, is in Japan. The Guinness Record people have given Tomoji Tanabe a certificate recognizing his claim on the record at the age of 111. The world's oldest person, by the way, is a woman, also Japanese. Yone Minagawa is 114. Mr. Tanabe eats vegetables, rice, and lots of fish, and he says, "I don't want to die." So he keeps living. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop. Stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. Welcome to our program today. Brian, you need to stop the CD player because it's driving me crazy. Brian is in control back at the studios in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we are live from the, what they call the Hinckley Hilton here in Washington. And that's a kind of ugly reference because Hinckley was the guy who tried to kill President Reagan. Unsuccessful in that attempt, so we can joke about it a little bit, but it occurred just about 100 yards from where we are in the basement of the Hilton. And we are here for the Take Back America Conference. Progressives from all over the country have descended here. And I have to tell you that it's a great feeling to be around people. We don't agree on every issue. Over lunch today, we had a polite disagreement with a gentleman from South Carolina about some immigration issues. But there's a unity of progressives, a sense of real purpose, a sense of momentum. And Keith Ellison, one of the freshman members of the House of Representatives from Minnesota, you know him as an African-American and the guy that Glenn Beck disrespected by questioning his patriotism because he is a Muslim. Keith Ellison gave a powerful talk this morning and talked about how the Democrats have been in control for 6 months, and he understands that some people are frustrated. But he painted the picture going back to 1964 when Barry Goldwater took the Republican Party to its nadir. And if you don't know what that means, it means absolute rock bottom. And from there, they said, well, we're going to rebuild, and we're going to, you know, build an infrastructure and think tanks and grassroots efforts and find the money and find the sugar daddies. And they did it, and they had their run, and they had their way with our country. And as many speakers here today have pointed out, it is our turn. And the conservatives, the neocons in particular, are on the run. And you're going to see this fall, and some people are impatient to get to the next round where funding for the occupation of Iraq is going to produce a political showdown in Washington. But that's where sites are set. MoveOn.org is here, and they've got some 80 25 people who are going out to fanned out across this country this summer to put the heat on political officials, particularly Republicans, because we know that those are the votes that we need to change this policy and to end the misguided juggernaut of the Bush administration. So it's very encouraging, and at the same time, it's sobering. There's a lot of hard work to be done, and nobody is spinning over or trying to paper over the challenges and the difficulties that we face. But as I say, to be together with like-minded individuals and to feel that sense of growing momentum, particularly as we compare it to last year when we were here as well, is very gratifying for me. We've got a lot of great guests. I'm not going to announce them all, but I want to mention a few. Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio will be with us a little bit later. Freshman Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota will be with us a little later. Phil Angelides, who was defeated by Governor Schwarzenegger in the contest in California last year, he'll be with us a little bit later. Our friend Cliff Schechter, who writes TheRealMcCain.com, and also Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, a former official in the state of Maryland, is going to join us. Not in that order, so stay tuned. It's going to be a very exciting program. We're live in the evening here in Washington, where it's just after 6 p.m. And your calls are always welcome here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I don't have my email open, but I may get to that a little bit later. Best way to join the program is to call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You know that number. 888-573-8372. My first guest here today is Ben Barnes, who was in the Texas National Guard. In fact, he was an enabler for a lot of people to get into the Guard back during the draft era of the Vietnam War. Ben Barnes, welcome to our program today.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be here.
Nice to talk with you again. And you were the guy who helped George W. Bush get out of Vietnam.
Yes, Peter. I made the call to the commander of the Air National Guard in Texas and asked him to find a place for young George Bush, as I did for numerous other young men. And I have said before on 60 Minutes and on your show also last year that I'm very ashamed of the fact that I did that. And it was wrong. It was wrong for a young Speaker of the House and Lieutenant Governor in Texas at 27, 28, 29 years old to have this kind of power over who was going to decide who was going to go to Vietnam. But it was a mistake for anybody from wealth and position and prestige to be able to, by the calling a public official, be able to get their son or daughter out of military service. And yeah. I participated in that, and it was very wrong.
And to my knowledge, there's no exit door like that for service in Iraq. You can't, channel yourself into a National Guard. There are no student deferments.
No, that's. But remember this: that in today that we have a volunteer army, and with a volunteer army, there's this war in Iraq is being fought by people that are being paid $20,000 to enlist, that are being promised college educations, people that are coming from the working class, people that don't have families that have the money to send them to college. They can't go get those educational opportunities. A lot of them are high school dropouts. A lot of them have actually committed felonies, and they're promised if they'll go into the service and have a clean record, that the felonies is removed from their records. And let me say that the people that are volunteering in our army, I'm very proud of those young people that are there. I'm very proud of the fact that they're in Iraq and they're willing to give their limbs and their lives for this country. But that doesn't make it right, because those young people are willing to go do it.
And gays and lesbians need not apply. Robert Greenwald unveiled a powerful new web-based film that you can find at YouTube right now about changing the policy of gays in the military. I hope we're able to achieve that. Ben Barnes, I got a little ditty here I'd like you to hear. Brian, go ahead and hit it, would you please? This is a song called Chicken Hawk.
Well, my son asked me today, is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know it's well, it's no, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite school. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried, 'cause they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly, we'll send someone else's boy. 'Cause we all make sacrifices, and in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake a knee.
Chicken Hawk. Thank you, Brian. You can fade that out. That's Roy Zimmerman. You can hear his music at royzimmerman.com. And he'll be with me Wednesday on the Peter B. Collins Show, playing some of his tunes in the studio. So, Ben, that Chicken Hawk song, does that kind of say it for you?
Well, I tell you, Roy says it a lot better than I could say it. And what a wonderful telling song. And I wish all the people across this country could hear that song. It might make us better citizens.
Yeah. Well, I'll work on that, okay?
Please do.
Now, I wanted to turn to something and ask your expertise. You know about Texas politics. You know about the South. And a guy named Tim Schaller wrote a book that came out last year called Whistling Past Dixie, making the case the Democrats could win without the South. And I thought it was an interesting argument, but I'd rather not take the chance.
Well,
so what is it going to take for Democrats to win a couple of states in the South in 2008?
Peter, I think that, first of all, that we're seeing the South become much more diversified. Texas, for instance, in 2010, when we take the census, 2011, Texans are going to find out that we are a minority state. When I say minority state, it means that the majority of the voters are going to be Hispanic, Black, or Yellow Americans. So we're going to be, and that's happening in Arizona.
We're already there in California.
And you're already there in California. It's happening in New Mexico. So I think that's going to have a big impact. But also, I think this. I think that Colorado, Arkansas, Ohio, Florida, there's a lot of states that have been red. I really think that there is a excellent opportunity for there to be six red states that will vote blue in 2008. And remember that I have been an advocate for a long time of running a 50-state campaign. Now, that's awful easy to say that when I don't have the checkbook and you have to go spend the tremendous money. Why would you go spend money in California when you think it's going to vote blue?
That was Howard Dean screaming thank you over there.
Or why would you go spend money in Texas when it's red? I tell you why you spend money in Texas and why you spend money in other red states if you're Democrats. You have to rebuild the party. And when Bill Clinton had to run a campaign in Texas in 1992 and again in 1996, he wouldn't have carried Texas, but we wouldn't have lost control of our state legislature. We wouldn't have lost five or six congressional seats to the Tom DeLay redistricting. We would have maintained a much stronger Democratic Party if we had a 50-state campaign by presidential candidates. Mm-hmm. And we've got to demand that, and we've got to work. Because I tell you, I still have a lot of faith in the people in a lot of those red states. I still have a lot of faith in my home state of Texas. I know that there are Democrats there, they're independents, but I know there are Texans that need to hear the truth. And if they're told the truth, and Democrats run a campaign on the thoughts and ideas that have built this party, we can come back in Texas and we can come back in the red states. And the worst thing, and I say a prayer to all progressive Democrats and leaders across this country, don't develop a strategy where that we're going to write off red America and not run a 50-state campaign.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Now, the candidates, of course, have different appeals. There are a lot of people who say, well, look at John Edwards. He's a Southerner. But I point out that in 2004, the Kerry Edwards ticket didn't carry a single Southern state, including his own. So who do you see? Is Bill Richardson considered a real Southerner from the Southwest there,
well,
New Mexico?
He's considered a Southwesterner. I don't think that Bill Richardson is considered a Southerner in Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana. But yes, he's certainly a Southwesterner. But I think this. I'm going to give the people in the red states a little bit more credit than other people. I think that we have the finest group of political candidates that I have seen seeking the Democratic nomination for president since 1960. And that was the first year that I observed and was a part of it. But I tell you, it's really incredible. We don't only have a qualified vice president and presidential candidate out there. We have five or six other candidates that could be Secretary of Energy, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, Environmental Secretary. I mean,
they're still talking to one another on Inauguration Day.
Well, they've got to be still talking to one another on Inauguration Day. And I hope we've learned our lesson. But I was proud of the debates. Gosh, it started so early. I can't believe it's
here.
But it's so early. But I really believe we've learned our lesson. Yeah. And I do believe this, that the greatest weakness and sickness that's hit this country has permeated out of this White House, and it's the bitter partisanship. I think we've learned our lesson. I think all of our candidates know that they've got to reach across the aisle and govern. This is going to be about the people and not about the parties.
Ben Barnes, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for joining us here.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to be with you.
We're live here at the Take Back America Conference. We're going to take a break and return right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I didn't mean to filibuster, Peter. Thank you, pal.
dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
From Washington, D.C., just dreaming about the dock of the bay. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're here at the Take Back America Conference in Washington at the Hilton, convening over the next few days. And if you want to find out more, go to the website ourfuture.org. That's O-U-R, ourfuture.org. And I do believe that some of the major speakers in those events are being streamed, although we're here in the confusion, and I can't promise you that. Today we had some interesting speakers, and tomorrow a number of the presidential candidates on the Democratic side are expected to be with us. and I'm looking forward to that. Joining us now is John Pfeffer. He's the new co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus. He spent some time at Stanford studying Korean, and he was also a writing fellow at Provisions Library in Washington. He's worked as an international affairs representative in Eastern Europe and East Asia for the American Friends Service Committee, and he has served as a consultant for Foreign Policy in Focus, the Institute for Policy Studies, and the Friends Committee on National Legislation. Welcome. How are you, John?
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know, the focus here, of course, of our future and the Take Back America conference is intended to be about bread and butter issues of working families, what they call kitchen table issues. But everyone has acknowledged, and this was clear last year, but even more apparent this year, that you can't really get to fixing the health care system, improving our educational opportunities, and working on infrastructure and other job creation, or at least potentially job-creating programs, until we deal with the problems in Iraq. What is your sense of how these domestically oriented think tanks and organizations have adapted to this reality?
Well, first of all, you know, the issue of Iraq is one not only that appeared in the polls and not only in the elections last year. The Americans spoke very clearly about what their views were about Iraq, but it also is a bread and butter issue too. I mean, we're talking about a military budget which is over $600 billion. A large chunk of that is going to the Iraq war. And right now here in Washington, the think tanks are starting to adjust to the reality of dealing with public discontent over the Iraq war and recognition that the public wants to see the funds distributed to domestic issues, to the problems that we face here in this country. The problem, as far as I'm concerned with, and you know, around this report that we just produced, Just Security, is that the focus has been rather narrow in Congress in particular, just around Iraq. We're saying, look, global military presence in the United States is much larger than Iraq. We have to start addressing this larger military presence of the United States around the world, because that's the lightning rod for dissatisfaction with U.S. conduct.
Wait. They hate us for our freedom.
Oh, they
hate us. Not because we have 700 military bases, is it?
I wish it were just a matter of our freedom, our diminishing freedom, I should add.
Indeed, yes.
But alas, it's not just the 700 to 1,000 military bases. I mean, it's our military operations. It's all the training that we do.
But what about the brilliance of projecting democracy at the point of a gun that has depleted uranium rounds in it?
Not only the projection of democracy, but unfortunately the projection of arms sales as well. And that really is what's stoking conflict.
Well, then let me jump in on that, because one of the talking points coming out of the administration has been this, you know, we're finding weapons in Afghanistan and Iran and in Iraq that came from Iran. And they're trying to, you know, create a linkage there, perhaps for an attack on Iran. Well, isn't Iran the regional arms supplier the way the U.S. is number one in the world? And is it surprising that their arms are in combat zones?
Of course not. I mean, the linkage here is similar to the linkages made, you know, prior to the Iraq invasion. In other words, an exaggeration of Iran's role. For instance, the suggestion that Iran is behind the improvised explosive devices in Iraq. In other words, that Iran is actually behind the death of U.S. soldiers. But in fact, there is no proof that has been put forward by the Bush administration. So we're in a very similar situation as we were in prior to the invasion of Iraq.
So, you know, given what Washington is consumed by, and the Democrats, understandably, their major focus is trying to change the Bush administration's policies, how will we get into the clear where we can really start to evaluate our posture in the world and clean up the messes that this administration is leaving behind?
Well, the first thing is that, for the most part, Democrats are offering only a warmed-over version of the Cold War. I mean, none of them are offering any kind of approach to the military budget that's sensible. I mean, not even a freeze. You know, they're talking about increases.
We're at $650 billion now.
Absolutely.
That's
ridiculous.
On the books.
Absolutely. And, you know, back for the Cold War, people were military people, head of the CIA, talking about cutting the military budget.
Where's my peace dividend?
Exactly. We're still calling for that peace dividend. So unless we start addressing that fundamental question of military budget, but also this kind of notion of containment. You know, clearly the Cold War and containment is better than what we got now with the Bush administration. Everybody agrees with that. But that's not good enough. The Cold War is not good enough. I mean, we are in a completely different strategic world. Talking about containing China, when China, it holds so much of our Treasury bonds does not make sense. That's yesterday's foreign policy. We have to think about a new kind of foreign policy.
John, thanks for stopping by. I'd love to talk with you again. What's your best website for people to find out more about foreign policy and focus?
www.fpif.org.
FPIF.org. Great to meet you. John Pfeffer here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from the Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. More coming up in just a moment, and you're welcome to call in with questions or comments. If you can catch our guests, they're changing real quickly here. The number is toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Ron Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Hi, I'm Linda Cantrell, host of the exciting new show, Talk of the Town. Along with my co-hosts, Kami Ajir and Dale Edward, we explore fun and interesting things, places, and people in our area. Listen for us starting Tuesday, June 12th from 7 to 8, or check out our website at gotalkofthetown.com.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies by him before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda to Joseph Goebbels' network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour, we're live from Washington, D.C. at the Take Back America Conference here at the Hilton Hotel. And one of the co-founders of the group that organized this event joins us right now. He's Bob Borisage, co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future. Bob, great to see you.
Good to be here. Good to have you here.
Well, we talked just last week, long distance. It's nice to be in your presence. And we're here in Radio Row. Al Sharpton was doing his show from just behind you a couple of hours ago. Tom Hartman was here where I am, and all kinds of great folks from all over the country here have descended from progressive media outlets to get the word out, and you have supplied us with a great event. I just saw Senator Bernie Sanders, there he is, walking by. He's one of the trio of freshman Senate members who will be appearing on the evening session tonight. We have two of the others who will join us in the next hour, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio and Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Looking forward to, I've never met Brown, but I've talked with him, and I've never met or spoken with the Minnesota senator. So these are opportunities for people like me to reach out and hear a whole range of ideas and get some insight about what's going on here in Washington.
Well, this is really special in general. You know, after the election, the establishment media kept saying, well, they elected a lot of conservative Democrats. You know, the Blue Dogs were going to increase in numbers. It was by running as conservatives, Democrats won this election. And we looked around, and, you know, coming into the Senate was the largest, most populous group of senators in my lifetime. Sherrod Brown and Bernie Sanders and Amy Klobuchar and Jim Webb and Casey and Tester. I mean, there is an amazing amount of energy, and they all ran against the war. They all ran against the economic policy. They all ran against the global trading policies that's left us in this big hole. They're going to challenge the Democratic caucus as well as the Senate. These are leaders we're going to hear from.
Yeah. And you mentioned in some of your opening remarks today that the Campaign for America's Future is framed around bread and butter kitchen table issues, but that the war in Iraq is something that cannot be ignored, and we really can't get to those other issues until we deal with that. Talk a little bit about that, because I think it's been a challenge for many groups that have had to adjust their agendas a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we were founded on the theory that you create economic common ground around kitchen table issues, and then you can build a large progressive movement that can include all sorts of groups. And that's what we've done, and we focused on those issues through our existence. But the war in Iraq is something very different. This is the worst foreign policy debacle in our history. This is consuming massive resources and lives and tearing up families and consuming attention. You can't get to an agenda until you get us out of that war in Iraq. And so we decided, sort of begrudgingly, we didn't want to get into it, that we really didn't have any choice. We had to be part of the coalition to stop the escalation and to take a much more active role in trying to bring our voices to bear on getting this country out of that debacle.
Yeah, well, and I think it is essential because, as I say, we can't really move in a meaningful way to the other issues. And, you know, certainly the Democratic leadership has been very sharply focused on trying to find a way to bring the Bush administration into line. And it hasn't been easy, and to date, we don't have a success to acknowledge. But you pointed out earlier today that there is at least the, I was going to use the word benchmark, but I don't want to say that. There is the obvious achievement that the Democrats did get a bill onto the president's desk that he then vetoed that at least changed the framework of the debate and really forced the administration, even though, again, Bush did veto that, to confront the ugly reality that most Americans are on the other side.
Yeah, no, you know, we are headed into a furious battle. We've been in it, but it's going to get worse on this war. I think most of the people that are part of the majority of Americans that want us out of the war think this question's been settled, that the war is lost, that it's been a debacle, that we're in an occupation in the middle of a civil war, and we ought to get our troops out of there. And they think that that's a very widespread view, and they're right. But we've got a president who's intent on staying there. You've now got General Petraeus saying September is not going to mean anything. We've got to be there another 10 years to make a real difference. You've got, I was just on a television show with a Georgia congressman arguing that, the Democrats want to just cut and run, and Republicans are going to campaign on this issue over the next year.
Did he actually say cut and run?
He did.
How 06.
And you've got every Republican presidential candidate standing with Bush, and the Republican Congress standing with him when he vetoed that measure so that, his veto couldn't be overturned. So this is going to be at the center of our politics and of our debate. And progressives ought to realize this. This argument's not over. It's very hard for a great nation to lose a war. We've got to wage this argument furiously over the next month.
Sorry, Bob. One of the things that I'm seeing is, and I feel that you are confronting it, dealing with it here, is that there are angry progressives on the far left, and I don't want to say far left to make it seem like they're about to fall off the edge, but when you look at the DLC, if you call that the center of the Democratic Party, then there are those of us on the left.
I wouldn't call that the center. That's the corporate wing of the party that's okay. Now less and less powerful and less credit in the party. They went the wrong way.
I'm happy to hear that. Okay, but my point is that we have people who had invested great hopes and thought that by now some definitive measure would have been passed.
Right.
And so they're frustrated, and the Democrats have to keep them on board while reaching out to Republicans, because with the narrow majority in the Senate, nothing is going to change until we peel off 8 to 10 Republican senators. Is that doable in the near term, or is that going to have to wait until the 08 election?
Well, it's going to be about heat in their districts. They've got to hear from people in their districts. There's a lot of Republicans that are very nervous about re-election, and for good reason, after 06.
And 21 Republican senators up for re-election.
Right, and they've got to hear from their members. The only thing I think that people who are dismayed that the money for the escalation went forward are exactly right. They should be dismayed. They should be upset. They should be disappointed. But we've got to overturn a presidential veto, and to overturn that veto, we've got to win Republican votes. And so I hope we keep our attention focused on putting heat on the Republicans that are thus far staying loyal, even though the vast majority of people in their districts or in their states are against this war. They're not representing their constituents anymore. They are representing and being loyal to an isolated president. We got to keep our focus on that, but we got to keep the heat on our own representatives. Keith Ellison, the representative from Minnesota, was here this morning. He said, politicians don't see the light until they feel the heat. So I don't get upset when people, as long as they don't get disgusted and walk away from the process, mm-hmm. If we're keeping heat on these elected officials, that's a good thing.
Let me see if I can find a little note that I wrote. Brad Woodhouse, who is at the news conference with you this morning, he put it in a soundbite. He said, we've got to unite the Democrats, divide the Republicans, and isolate Bush.
Right. That's the task, and that's going to be our task through this next election. I think it's possible that we can turn the policy on the war. Speaker Pelosi now says she's not going to allow any appropriation except for an appropriation for monies to get the troops out safely. That's going to be a battle that starts next month and that is going to be waged through September, October with the president. This battle's just begun, and we've got to keep fighting.
And Barbara Lee and Lynn Woolsey were both here today promoting the idea of new legislation that is to fully fund the troops for the withdrawal from Iraq. Now, I understand what's going on there, but I have to say I have the deepest respect for Barbara Lee, and Lynn Woolsey is my own congresswoman, but it pains me when they have to dance around this language, because whether it's from focus groups or other polling, somebody has told them that it's dynamite to step on the frame of supporting the troops. So everything has to be fashioned around a phrase of supporting the troops. And I find that uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. But the debate, whatever has to be done in the debate to get us out of this war, I think whatever works, I'm for trying it. This Georgia congressman today was talking about how to respect the lives of those who have already sacrificed their lives in this war, we had to stay there for another 5, 6, 7 years till we remade Iraq. That means to respect the 3,000 that have already lost their lives in this debacle, we've got to lose thousands of other lives and not just spend $2 trillion that we've spent to date, but commit another $2 trillion on top
top of that. That's folly, and we've got to understand that the only way to support these troops is to get them out of there.
Well, and Brian Katulis gave a talk at one of the panels. He's from the Center for American Progress, a fellow who's been on our program a number of times. They have a new report that they announced today that will be released next week about a strategic, it wasn't redeployment, they came up with a new word, but it's similar to that. In presenting it, he said, when I was writing this late at night, he said, my computer froze up. And he said, I thought maybe we should name the new policy proposal Control-Alt-Delete.
Not bad.
And he said it occurred to him that, you know, what we need is to reboot, and that, we're stuck thinking through the lenses that were offered by the Bush administration initially, and, they're really not interested in taking a new look. What do you think it will require to really move Bush in that direction?
Well, I think you have to overturn his veto and do it to him. He's not going to move. It'll be interesting to see if a veto is overturned, if he tries to continue it another way, the way Reagan did in Nicaragua. I think he's playing out his cards. My fear is he might be looking to escalate next year into Iran rather than just play out a losing hand. So I think we're in a very dangerous zone. I think a great nation facing a true foreign policy debacle, it's a very difficult time. And we've got to be mobilized, and we've got to be active. We've got to be arguing this case in a way that Americans can hear, because it's going to be argued.
Mm-hmm. Bob Borisage, just a couple of minutes remaining here. One of the things I wanted to mention to you is that my listeners are very concerned about election processes, about voting machines, about the Holt bill that is working its way through the House right now. And while the Holt bill started off, in the right direction, there are many of us who are concerned that it doesn't ban the touchscreen machines. It permits the source code to remain in the hands of the corporate owners of the machines. It has a new audit provision that is quite onerous. Used to, require a judge to open up a ballot box and audit those, and this eviscerates that. And there are a couple of other issues. Are you in touch with that, and are there any presentations here about voting issues at the event?
Yeah, there is a Clean Elections panel, I think it's on Wednesday, that will, one piece of it looks at the voting machines and the election procedures. It sort of looks at broadly at how we do elections so badly and tries to talk about same-day voter registration and turning to an election day holiday and getting the counting right and honest. I think it's a real problem, obviously. We've lived with it. We know it's a problem, we've experienced it, and it's ridiculous that a democracy as old as ours can't put in procedures that ensure that when everyone can vote and everyone's vote gets counted.
Well, and it appears that the pressure is to make sure that electronic systems are in place so that before we go to bed on election night, we know the results. And that's not essential. We learned in 2000 that the Republic will survive if we don't know the result right away. And I would rather get it right than, have this, the Holt bill again requires a paper trail, but it doesn't call that paper trail a ballot in legal terminology. And therefore, in certain situations, there's no requirement for an election registrar to actually count that paper trail. And that's a glaring error, and I can't believe that so many great organizations like PFAW and Common Cause are, just...
Are they behind that?
They are. And they've been a little bit tough on critics from our side of the story.
But we've got to get this right. We have another Florida or another Ohio, and this country will start to lose faith in its democracy. It'll start to explode.
Yeah.
You can't keep stealing votes and expect people to have faith and go to the polling booth and vote for their candidates. So
the more that happens, the lower the turnout, and the more that minorities can control our process, as we've seen with the conservatives.
I always think that it's a conservative strategy to try to build cynicism. Government can't do anything, nothing can happen. Andrea Batista Schlesinger had this kind of sense that, the economy, that's just natural, it's just the way things are.
Yeah.
Isn't human, there's no human hands involved. involved. We didn't do anything about it. And they really try to feed that sense of cynicism. If they could keep you home from voting, they'd be happy.
Yeah, I'm a caged voter. Bob Borisaj, thanks for stopping by, and thank you for a great event here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Robert Borisaj, co-founder of the Campaign for America's Future, their website, ourfuture.org. They're the people who have presented us with this great event called Take Back America. We're going to take a quick break and return in just a moment with Biko Baker here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Hey, good looking, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
For a cue, Brian.
Sorry, the music's been down, Peter.
Okay. Should I go? We're live from Washington, D.C. I'm Peter B. Collins here on the show they named after me, the Peter B. Collins Show. We're at the Take Back America Conference, and we're joined by Biko Baker, an organizing director for the League of Young Voters, and he splits his time between Milwaukee and Los Angeles. Biko, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
And I first met a group of people in San Francisco back in 04 or maybe late 03, and they were putting a group of young activists together called the League of Pissed Off Voters. Is that the antecedent of the League of Young Voters?
We are the League of Pissed Off Voters, now the League of Young Voters. We changed our name in 05. Some people aren't very happy about the change, but we're still doing the same work.
Yeah. Well, I can understand some activists who would be upset, but I guess the term offended some people who you were trying to reach out to. Is that it?
Yeah, it's nothing like going into a city council chamber and having the president of a common council saying, Biko Baker from the League of Pissed Off Voters.
But underneath this, there's a very important issue, and it has to do with anger.
That's right.
And legitimate anger.
Mm-hmm.
And we have heard a pushback from the right wing whenever a Democrat or a progressive of some other stripe pops up and is angry about the war, angry about the economic disparities that continue to grow in this country.
That's right.
They're told to sit down and shut up. You're too angry. Mm-hmm. Howard Dean was told he was too angry. And I want to know when this country can start to deal with the real emotions in the rough and tumble of our political process, because I think there's a lot to be angry about.
You're right. I think we should be angry, and I think not only should we be angry, but we should also be organized with our anger. And I think one of the difficulties that we're seeing is that when we step up and we're emotional, people think we're just emotional, and that's not the case. We're human beings. I live in a city, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is very poor and a lot of violence. And every day I wake up, and it's my anger that motivates me to work with young people. And I think it's the people, it's the Bill O'Reillys of the world that want to discredit us. But who cares about him?
And he's a pretty angry guy himself.
He's super angry.
He needs some therapy.
Yeah. He needs some truth too, and stop telling lies.
Mm-hmm. So give me an idea. We did see a spike in young voter participation in 2004. Could have been better.
That's right.
But it was good.
Mm-hmm.
What are we building toward now? And what techniques do you use to reach out to people under 25 and get them engaged, involved, and active?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of the traditional grassroots canvassing methods with a little twist. We got PDAs and Blackberries where we can text message to our friends in seconds. We have MySpace and Facebook. We use hip-hop culture and spoken word. We just had a panel, and a poet got up and did a poem, and it resonated so strongly with the young people in the room. But we just tell the stories in a way that makes sense, and we just use it and move forward.
Mm-hmm. And give us a couple of organizing successes. Are there any cities or states where you feel that you've really built a strong base?
Yes, we just got done whooping, and no offense, with the Democratic machines, but in Pittsburgh, we knocked out two city council people, and we actually got a judge in the office. And this was young people knocking on doors, getting real active. We've had a lot of success in Albuquerque, and currently in Maine right now, we're pushing for a thing called Opportunity Maine, would actually reduce college debt of everybody that graduated Maine, and they stayed in the state for 4 years. So it actually wipes away the college debt.
Mm-hmm.
And we're fighting for that, and it's going to be on the ballot this year. And we're trying to take that all across the country.
Mm-hmm. And are you finding that people your age, and I don't know your exact age, but under 25, are they all registered, and do they vote? Or is there a gap there?
There's still a gap. I think the product of our public school systems is that we don't understand that voting is in our self-interest. And a lot of times we think, we're just going to get our college debt and who cares? But what's going on now is we're at higher debt, we can't afford college, and the only way those things are going to change is if we step up and say, hey, you know what? We don't want to spend this money on this tuition. But there's still a gap, and it keeps people like me employed with organizations like the League of Young Voters.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, without picking any favorites, of the Democrats who are running for president, who are the ones who really get the youth vote and understand what you're doing?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't know yet. I think one of the things that's happened is that because people have jumped into the race real early, earlier than ever, is that what they haven't made a lot of stands on a lot of issues. And I think we're going to wait and see what they say. I like Barack. I like Hillary. I like Edwards. Particularly like Edwards' position in poverty. And Barack has said a lot of cool things around violence. But, I mean, they have to earn our vote. We're not going to just give our vote away.
Oh, I love hearing that.
That's right.
And the Obama factor, I think, is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you you believe his draw will be? Because I think he has the potential to be a game changer, a guy who can redefine the electorate and bring new people in.
He's an exciting guy. When the day of the Virginia Tech massacre, he was in Milwaukee and he gave a speech, and he stopped his speech and talked about violence. He talked about Bobby Kennedy's quote about violence, and it was very powerful. And I think he's a real person, a very Kennedy-esque type person. But at the end of the day, politics is November 7th or whatever, November 8th of next year, and he's got a long way to go. And I think if he doesn't, and one thing I'm a little bit disappointed about Obama, he sort of distanced himself from the hip-hop generation. We all the Don Imus stuff. People are the N-word. And he needs to, you know, I wish he would reach out to us a little bit more, because we're going to be his base, because we're his base in Illinois, you know, so we're going to be his base in the country, too. But he's a great guy. I think Hillary is great. I'm still not sure if white men, how progressive they are willing to vote for her, or black men, or men, period. But I think she's real smart, and I think the thing about Edwards is he's got that charm. So I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I can't wait to 08.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for stopping by, and I thank you for being pissed off.
That's right.
And I want you to spread the word to people all over the country, because the more active young people can get, the better our combined futures are going to be.
That's right.
Nico Baker, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
We'll continue in just a moment after the top of the hour news, live from Washington, D.C. In the next hour, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend will join us, Senator Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota, plus a whole lot of others, including Phil Angelides, who ran for governor of California last year. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. at the Take Back America Conference.
Guys, go eat.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie, as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In a well-stocked Iraqi orphanage, troops find children starving.
I saw children that you could see literally every bone in their body. They were so skinny.
U.S. aid to the Palestinians flows again.
We will not leave 1.5 million Palestinians at the mercy of terrorist organizations.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. CBS News Chief Foreign Correspondent Lara Logan reports exclusively on what U.S. and Iraqi troops discovered in central Baghdad, a government-run orphanage for special needs children where emaciated kids were lying on the concrete floor tied to their cribs. Army Lieutenant Stephen Dupere of the 82nd Airborne describes the scene.
Kids were tied up, naked, covered in their own feces, and there were just three people that were cooking themselves food, but not the other kids.
In the kitchen?
Yes, ma'am.
With all these kids starving around them?
That's correct.
It didn't stop there. The soldiers found kitchen shelves packed with food, and in the stockroom, rows of brand new clothing still in their plastic wrapping. Instead of giving it to the boys, the soldiers believe it was being sold to local markets.
Two security guards at the facility have been arrested. Three other staff members, including the man in charge, have disappeared. Now this.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? After driving 2,000 miles from L.A., he's pulling up to the world's largest baseball bat, 7 stories high. For his big trip to the Big Bat, he chose Michelin Primacy MX-V4 tires. Smooth ride, mile after mile, and an unprecedented 60,000-mile warranty. So take a stab, or should I say swing, at guessing Michelin Man's location. Then visit michelinman.com/guesswhere for the answer. Plus more on Michelin Primacy MX-V4 tires.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Hey Dave, Mike here.
Hey, this afternoon at around 2:27, the plumbing's going to back up with a lot of grayish, goopy stuff. It'll all overflow onto the tile floor and make a nice little safety hazard. Cool? Anyway, just thought you should know.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added thousands of new plumbing products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Valves, fittings, fixtures, toilets, water heaters, whatever it takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Bush administration has been trying to squeeze Hamas by withholding aid to the Palestinian government, but with Hamas in control of Gaza and President Mahmoud Abbas struggling to survive, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced today that the aid embargo is being lifted.
To help ease the suffering of all Palestinians, especially those in Gaza, we intend to contribute $40 million to the United Nations Relief and Works Agency.
The Palestinians effectively have two governments now, the Hamas regime in Gaza and the new government formed by Abbas in the West Bank.
It is the position of the United States that there is one Palestinian people, and there should be one Palestinian state.
On the phone with President Bush today, Abbas said it's time for the Palestinians to resume peace talks with Israel. The president hosts Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert at the White House tomorrow. Last night's rain came in torrents. Today, in parts of North Texas, terrible floods have claimed at least four lives, including a woman and her five-year-old granddaughter, whose mobile home in Gainesville was swept away. A younger granddaughter is missing, as are other people in the region. In Haltom City, the water came up fast, and it was fast-moving.
I wasn't scared till I tried to leave the house, and the current was so strong. And that's the first time I realized about what they say about not going through running water, because it was very, very deceiving. It was so much stronger than I ever imagined.
More than 300 people had to be rescued. Governor Rick Perry has activated three National Guard helicopters and dozens of troops. If you're a passenger in a car that's stopped and searched by police, the highest court in the land says you have the same rights as the driver. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato explains.
Not every state gives car passengers the same constitutional rights as drivers. The Supreme Court, in a unanimous ruling, says when it comes to illegal searches and seizures, everyone in the car has rights and can challenge a police traffic stop.
The decision, properly, in my view, deprives the police of what would otherwise be a virtual invitation to engage in racial profiling.
Stephen Shapiro, the ACLU's national legal director. In another ruling, the court is limiting the rights of investors to sue Wall Street banks for anti-competitive practices. The damages from these suits are potentially huge. The banks argued these matters are best left to regulators, not courts. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Space Shuttle Atlantis is clear for departure from the International Space Station. They ran tests today on the computers that crashed last week, and they're working fine, controlling thrusters to keep the space station in position for its solar panels to catch the sun's rays. Atlantis undocks tomorrow, returns on Thursday. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
So, you're in the market for a good used car, but have no idea where to look. Well, I can take the angst out of your auto search. Honda Certified Used Cars. First, it's a Honda. They kind of corner the market on reliability. Second, they're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection. Then is backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda. Honda Certified Used Cars. The next best thing to new. And then some.
See dealer for limited warranty details.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
More closure today in the...
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show. The antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We're live from the Take Back America conference in Washington, D.C. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we'll get that under control. Go ahead and hit stop on the CD player there, Brian. Thank you. We are live from the Take Back America conference at the Hilton in Washington. We'll be here again tomorrow. A little bit later this hour, a couple of freshman members of the United States Senate will join us. Senator Sherrod Brown from my birth state of Ohio, and Amy Klobuchar, the freshman senator from Minnesota. But right now, we have the former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, is with us. Hello, Kathleen.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
Thanks for being here.
I love talking with you, and I was just on the phone, actually, with my pal Ann Coffey Proctor from San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Ann.
Hey, Ann. How are you?
Well, we talked a few months ago about your new book called Failing America's Faithful, and it really struck a chord with me. I'm a recovering Catholic, as I shared with you. I confessed to you at that time, and I really appreciate that you have come out and really taken on some of these issues publicly, including the Catholic Church. And what we've seen is a kind of religiosity that has swept the country, but it doesn't really include the basic moral values that many of us associate with Jesus. Not about private sexual behavior, but about public morality, including the biggest moral issue of our time, which is the war in Iraq.
It is stunning what has happened to our churches. They have just closed their eyes to the important big questions, to focus really on abortion, same-sex marriage, and stem cell research. It is so sad because this is a big church, the Catholic Church, a billion people all around the world. It has the opportunity to have a loud moral voice. And what you see is that when they weigh the war in Iraq, the killings there, the growth of terrorism, versus what women do with their bodies, they focus on women. They focus, as I've said, on the one sin that men can't commit.
Yeah.
It run by a whole male hierarchy.
You talking about the fraternity?
Hello. No, it is, and it's really sad. I think it's sad because the church has so much to offer. You know, it is in every country. It doesn't do what often happens in our own United States, is connect God with America. It says God is everywhere. I like that. It often is, you know, the church of the poor and the disenfranchised, so it has a special voice when it speaks about that. But it really has a problem with women. And so it would prefer to maintain its own power than really open itself, open the doors to women, to make them deacons as they were in the early church, or bishops or priests. And I know that when we have this conversation, some of your listeners are saying, why are they talking about this? What has this to do with anything? And the fact is, what it really has to do with is that the church is one of the great powers in the world today. It's certainly a big power in the United States. 5 of the Supreme Court justices are Catholics. So to ignore it is to ignore really part of what is creating the culture, the values for our citizens, and we shouldn't ignore it.
Well, and I have problems with the earthly hierarchy because on the one hand, they try to preach to us about these personal issues, and when they miss the boat on the big issues, it really undermines their credibility.
Well,
yet they often don't seem to know that.
I know. That's why it's our job to tell them and to be the mirror so that they can see themselves. I mean, speaking of personal issues, they clearly miss the pederasty issue, not only in allowing priests to continue and continuously abuse children, but not to hold themselves accountable, to hide behind lawyers, and not to be the pastors that they're called to be. I mean, obviously, there are some exceptions. Cardinal Bernardine was terrific. But really, they have been so harmful to their own church and to themselves. I mean, I feel sorry for many of them, because how can they look at themselves with honesty about what it is that they've done? I think, however, it is our job, some are recovering Catholics, some who refuse to leave the church, to say, you know, the church isn't the hierarchy. The church is the people of God. And we have an important role to play both as moral people, working community, and to talking about public issues, the war in Iraq, what we should be doing there, as well as telling the church how they need to reform themselves, become more open, accountable, and really talk about the right issues.
Kathleen Kennedy Townsend is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. She's the former Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. Now, tell me about reaction to your book. First of all, your family, I know, is connected in the Catholic community in this country, and I'll bet you know a lot of bishops and maybe even a cardinal or two.
I do. Well,
did they sit you down and say, oh, dear Kathleen?
Well, the Catholic press did say they wouldn't put any ads in the paper because it was the Catholic press is supposed to increase piety, not thinking. Hello. And then I was must be a bitter woman because I probably don't go to church. Well, you know, I was just with some monks the other day, Benedictine monks, who said there's no bitterness in my book at all. It's a beautiful book. We love what you've written. It's so important. One cardinal actually wrote me a letter and said, thank you for writing this book. It's important to begin this dialogue.
Can you name him?
Sean O'Malley from Massachusetts. So,
oh, the Franciscan.
The
yeah.
Franciscan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and one priest actually drove his confirmation class an hour and a half to come hear me because he said to his students and to me, this is the church I want you to be confirmed into.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
That is.
It's so exciting. So my thought is that people of the church are yearning for the voice that I give. Maybe they don't agree with me about everything, but they're happy that there is a person of some stature. You know, luckily, you know, I was Lieutenant Governor. I come from a, you know, big Catholic family. Mm-hmm. They can speak, and not with bitterness, not with anger, but to talk about what this church can be and give an alternative type of voice to what we've heard, either from those who are really angry with the church or those who are just defending the church.
And Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, what kind of political reaction did you get from your friends in the Democratic leadership?
The Democratic leadership, as you can see, is moving over to this viewpoint rapidly because we just had the first debate on faith a few weeks ago. You now hear John Edwards, Barack Obama, and my candidate, Hillary Clinton, talking about their own faith and how it is affecting their view of the world and what they should do. So what's really been interesting in this election campaign is how the Democrats are actually becoming the party of faith, where it's the Republicans, given their own personal life, which to me is another issue, but really they're wrong on the public issues, and they are keeping quiet.
Mm-hmm. And as you're saying this, there's one other group that I want to keep in mind here, and that is that there are a lot of people who choose not to be a person of faith. I interviewed a fascinating woman from Brooklyn the other day who's written a book called Nothing, Something to Believe In. And she was not raised in a religious family, and she doesn't want it. And she often feels excluded when any president ends a speech with the God Bless America obligatory line. And she feels that we have crept, you know, more toward the idea of a Christian state since 9/11, and she feels excluded from that. So how can Democrats, without straddling or being insincere, how can they appeal more to people of faith while not excluding the unchurched?
That's a great question. I think one way to what I do is when I talk, I quote Daniel Dennett, who is an atheist, self-proclaimed atheist, written a number of best-selling books, and say that he has told me that atheists give more to the poor, have longer marriages, and are happier than believers. But some of us sinners need God. So I think part of it is to reach out to those who aren't believers. I think that we can share a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have. I do believe that non-believers, I hope, are open to those who are people of faith, rather than they're stupid or they're ugly or they're just misled, which is some attitude, as you know, of non-believers.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're really feeling excluded, I think that's unfortunate. I would hope that they wouldn't be excluded by the term God bless you. In other words, when somebody, I was just thinking when you said that, you know, when I hear a candidate candidate speaks in Spanish to a Hispanic group, I don't feel excluded. I feel that as a candidate, we speak to people in the language they understand.
It's that we're a secular nation, and when political leaders invoke God, it does send a message that there's at least a religious component. And I am all for people expressing their faith. I think it's a personal thing, and everyone should be permitted to do that to the fullest. But I also am uncomfortable. We have the Air Force Academy, where people of the Jewish faith have been hazed by Christians.
Absolutely.
There's a new scandal out of Fort Leavenworth, where they're using Pentagon computers to do Bible teaching that marginalizes people of other faiths.
Those are different examples than saying God bless you. That is using taxpayer dollars to divide in a really ugly way, and I think it's dangerous not only for those who are excluded. I think it's really dangerous for believers. I mean, why has this country always had strong people faith?
Yeah.
Because the government hasn't been involved. Government power is corrupting. You may have seen.
Yes, indeed.
And so the closer that religion and government become, the more corrupting both are.
Mm-hmm.
It's dangerous. And I think those people who try to use government dollars to put their faith on others are making a huge religious mistake as well as a political one.
Well, I agree. Thank you very much. A pleasure to talk with you and see you in person.
Thank you, Peter.
Kennedy Townsend here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to take a quick break and return with Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio. Stand by for more from Washington, D.C.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. It was fun.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it 5 times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic, and we do have a little bit to talk about. All right, we're going to start off in Soledad, northbound 101, just before Arroyo Seca. We do Seco, that is. Accident there, big rig, two cars. It's been cleared to the right shoulder. San Benito County, northbound 101 after Cole Road. We have an injury crash, paramedics, fire department, along with CHP there. It's four cars blocking the two left lanes, so definitely causing some problems there. Also looking at Gilroy, northbound 101, or southbound 101 at 10th Street, Pacheco Pass Highway, an injury crash being reported there. One car in the center divide, another on the right shoulder. And a problem here in Santa Cruz, it's northbound 1 before San Andreas. Left lane block, what's going on? It is a stalled vehicle at this point. Meanwhile, a support brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Center departments. Toyota owners, see your Genuine Toyota Service Center for convenience and value and express.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're live from Washington, D.C., and we're joined by the freshman senator from my birth state of Ohio, Sherrod Brown. Senator, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Nice to talk with you.
You're from a more conservative part of the state than I am, but
that's true.
Then again, you don't live there. So.
But you carried the state.
We did all right in your part of the state. So.
Well, that's important.
Thanks.
And I spoke to you a couple of times when you were a member of Congress, and I'm just delighted that you moved up to the Senate. During the break here, you told a little story because Kathleen Kennedy Townsend departed as you took her seat, and you took her father's seat, what Bobby Kennedy used to sit
father's
in, the
desk.
United States
yeah.
Senate.
Yeah, not his New York Senate seat, but his desk. When you on the Senate floor, they have these wooden, very nice desks, 150 years old. They look like school kid desks. They're not very big, but you pull the drawer out, and former senators have carved their names in the bottom of the drawer. And in my desk drawer is Hugo Black, the Supreme Court Justice, who introduced the first six-hour workday in the Senate in the 1930s, and Al Gore Sr. and Robert F. Kennedy and George McGovern. So
wow.
It was fun to tell Kathleen that I have her father's desk.
That's quite a legacy.
Yeah, it certainly is.
I believe if Bobby Kennedy were here today, his top priority would be to get us out of the war in Iraq.
I think it would.
That's what our listeners care the most about. Share your situation. Narrow margin there in the Senate. You can't clear the cloture votes on critical issues. You can't even bring the Republicans along on obvious resolutions like the no confidence in Gonzalez. So I do understand the difficulties you face. Still, many of my listeners are very frustrated at the slow progress in forcing change on this administration.
Yeah, we all are. I voted against the war 5 years ago now. It's been almost. And it has been 5 years coming up in October. An awful lot of us want to end this war quickly, want to see a timetable. The Senate will pass a timetable again in September. I think that Petraeus' comments that we're going to be there longer, potentially as long as 10 years, are just, I think that more and more members of Congress, the Republican side, are realizing that's just not going to work. And we just need to continue to have votes and continue to push the president and continue to try to override vetoes and force him to veto and override until we pick off enough Republican senators either to override the veto or that enough prominent Republicans go to the White House and say, Mr. President, you got to end this war. I mean, unfortunately, as hard as we push, we've got a small number of senators now. We get to 11, we're in the game. It's 17 Republican senators we override and we end the war.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, we're not there yet, and that's why public pressure on recalcitrant Republican senators needs to continue to build.
How can we direct our frustrated progressives right now?
Well, I think in lots of states that not states like California is different. You have two candidates and two senators that want to end this war. But in places around the country, like my state, there's one senator, the Republican senator, votes to continue. Didn't vote for the timetable, didn't vote for withdrawal strategy, and the pressure needs to continue to build on them. I think the pressure of the public opinion polls, which they're paying attention to, the Republicans don't break with the president. They're a very corporate, hierarchical party. Mm-hmm. They don't break with their chief executive very easily, and that's why public pressure really needs to be put on them to make them move.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's a frustrating thing for all of them. I voted against the war, and I also ran a campaign talking about ending the war in Iraq, and it's frustrating to voters in Ohio. It's frustrating to people that supported me. It's frustrating to me, but the issue is to keep focus and keep pushing those Republican senators that aren't moving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I referenced the Gonzalez no confidence vote. I believe that he lied under oath to the United States Senate. Would you vote to remove him if the House presented a bill of impeachment?
Sure. I think Gonzalez is, I can't believe he's still there.
Me either.
I don't know why he'd want to be there after all this. And, you know, with his behavior, he's made Ashcroft almost look like a civil libertarian.
The hospital scene was a high point for Ashcroft.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
You couldn't have written that one.
We were like, hey, go Ashcroft. But, no, I mean, this guy never understood, and I'm not a lawyer, so maybe I don't understand him. He never understood the difference between being the president's personal lawyer and being the people's, the country's, mm-hmm. the United States lawyer. He still doesn't understand that.
Yeah.
And I just think, we keep the pressure on it. In some sense, this is an opportunity because progressives, we are embarking on a new progressive era. I mean, 2006, November 2006 was the end of the conservative era. We have an opportunity if we continue, if we know how to do it, and we do this right, we have an opportunity as progressives to really take the country forward. We did it in the 60s with civil rights and voting rights and Medicare and Medicaid. We did it in the 30s with Social Security and right to organize and minimum wage. We did it in the teens with the women's vote and the progressive income tax and the food and food safety and mm-hmm. federal workers' compensation. We have a chance for a progressive era if we seize the moment. That means continuing to build on the efforts of what your listeners do.
Sherrod Brown is with us, a senator from Ohio from the Wellstone wing of the Democratic Party, if I may.
That sounds
Senator,
good to me.
You know, I was born in Ohio. I believe it was also the scene of the crime in 2004. And we have a Holt bill in the House. We have a Feinstein bill in the Senate. And I don't think either one comes close to fixing the problems with our elections. What's your position?
I will support those bills. I don't know that they are enough. I think we ought to have a paper trail on everything. I was Secretary of State of Ohio in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of State there now is very, very good. She's not going to let them. She's not going to allow hanky-panky, but that doesn't take care of the whole country. And I'm confident Ohio's is not just going to be counted fairly, but we're going to win in 08. I think this is all part of this progressive move where my state's changed, but I think we need to do a total revamp of the election system.
Okay, and if we end up relying on paper trails, can we redefine those as legally as ballots? That's a critical issue to me.
Okay, I understand that. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, Senator, they're giving you the hook here.
Okay.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Peter.
Pleasure to meet you.
Appreciate
Can we talk
that.
Again?
Thank you, Katrina. I'd love to.
All
Thank
right,
you.
We'll be in touch. Sherrod Brown, Senator from Ohio, a freshman Democrat here at the Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. We're heading to a break here, and we'll return shortly with the freshman Senator from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, will be with us in just a moment, live from Washington, D.C. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Call me if you make it.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Papers, please.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Everybody complains it's unfair, the idea that good people should see their freedoms limited just because they want to cross a border and don't have the proper documents. Except in this case, it's not about undocumented workers trying to sneak in, but undocumented tourists trying to come home. In 2004, to strengthen border security, Congress required that Americans flying home from countries like Canada and Mexico couldn't get by with just a driver's license or a birth certificate anymore. They would need a valid passport. Even those traveling by land would at least need a passport card. But the State Department wasn't ready, and the waiting periods grew until travelers were faced with canceling trips they'd already paid for. Now, job one in America, as we all know, is national security. The presidential candidates may disagree on many things, but they are all tough on national security because they know the American people want them to be tough on national security, except if it means canceling a vacation, because that would collide with the other national priority, which is to shop and travel as if nothing had changed, even though 9/11 changed everything. In this case, the need to vacation has trumped national security, and over the protests of the Department of Homeland Security, the passport requirement was suspended until September, and now, because the backlog is so bad, Congress may suspend it further. So for now, you won't need an actual passport to come back home, just proof that you've applied for an actual passport. That'll scare Al-Qaeda. Frankly, I don't know what the panic's about. If they stop you at the border, just say you're here to put up drywall. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the president won't listen, Congress must.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We are live from the nation's capital at the Washington Hilton, the site of the annual Take Back America conference put on by the Campaign for America's Future. Their website, where you can get information on the proceedings and catch the live stream of some of the presentations, is ourfuture.org. And we're here in Radio Row. There's a lot of energy still here tonight. Mike Papantonio from Air America's Ring of Fire and Senator Sherrod Brown are doing a two-camera shoot over to my right. And we just had a Schechter versus Schechter blogger connection. Danny Schechter, my buddy from MediaChannel.org in New York, and Cliff Schechter, my pal who does the RealMcCain.com website, they just had a chance to meet, and I'm delighted to see that happen right here at the Take Back America conference. Senator, a pleasure to meet you.
Well, great to meet you, Peter. I'm honored to be on.
Amy Klobuchar, the new freshman senator from the great state of Minnesota, is here with us.
Yeah,
did I say that right?
Very nice accent. Now, you better not go into that whole Fargo, you betcha.
No, no. I like to, you know, give a little tinge there.
Exactly.
What's life like in the United States Senate?
Well, it is a challenge every day. I came in a little different style than some of the senators. As you know, a number of them have a lot of money. We drove in my family Saturn, my husband and our 11-year-old daughter. And
hey, Fred Thompson would rent a red pickup truck for you.
There you go. There you go. And we've been busy ever since. My husband's adjusted. He's the first man to consistently be involved in the Senate. spouse group.
Uh-huh.
I knew things were out of hand when I ran into him one day in the Capitol lawn with the pink box going to Jim Webb's wife's baby shower.
Oh, my.
Claire McCaskill yelled out the window, "That's the sexiest thing I've ever seen."
Now,
but anyway,
what about Senator Clinton's spouse?
He has gone to one or two events, but unlike my husband, my husband's the first man to consistently be involved in the group. He actually plans events.
Yeah.
So he's been having fun. But beyond that...
And what's his name? We shouldn't just talk
my husband,
about him.
Oh, that's right. John Bessler.
John Bessler.
Exactly.
Okay.
But beyond that, you know, we've been focusing on these issues that your conference is all about with Taking Back America. And for me right now, this week, I am working very hard on that energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the Commerce Committee. I was proud that we finally got some increased CAFE gas mileage standards through that committee on a bipartisan basis. And now I'm hoping we're not going to run into any roadblocks. The American public deserves to have better cars with higher gas mileage standards. I also want to see a renewable standard. I put a bill in for 25% by the year 2020 for wind and solar and other kinds of renewable energies. And then my big amendment that I'm working on is this carbon registry.
The carbon.
Right. I figure if Weight Watchers has a calorie counter, we can have a carbon counter. And I have three Republicans on the bill. I have run into a little roadblock. The Chamber of Commerce isn't happy, which I said today on the Senate floor. I said, I don't get this because 25 major companies, BP and Shell, they all said they wanted this and they mm-hmm. wanted it done by the end of the year when they testified before Congress. And so I don't quite understand what's going on. I think that if we really want to move and get something done on climate change, no matter what policy we decide to pursue, we have to have accurate information, and everyone agrees on that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Senator Amy Klobuchar is our guest here in Washington, D.C. Now, Senator, I took a look at the details of your bill. I don't want to pretend I've read every word, but I read a summary of it. And I was interviewing a writer last week. Her name's Kimberly Lissagore. And she has a great little article in the new issue of Mother Jones Magazine about the different websites where you can go and estimate the carbon that you contribute from driving your car, from flying around the world, or, you know, just to Disney World. And it's a start. But all the systems are different.
Yes.
You can't really figure out exactly how they have computed them. But they do underscore the need for quantifying mm-hmm. what our emissions are, what our contributions are. We've got to start somewhere. And if we're going to have a cap-and-trade system that is more than just selling indulgences, and saying, well, I'm a really good person because I paid a fine for my carbon emissions, well, then we've got to be able to set up a system that is based on hard data.
Well, exactly. And when you see what's happening right now, some sectors of the economy report to the Energy Department every 3 years. Other ones do it every year. A National Public Radio reporter, not to bring up a competitor.
Oh,
but
we don't compete.
Don't mind. Okay, very good. Well, she did a story and interviewed me, but she also tried to find the biggest carbon dioxide emitter in our country. And, of course, you can't see it. It's hidden. And she couldn't. And in Canada, she knew right away because there was a website, and she did the report from outside of that mm-hmm. particular business. And this is not to say that some businesses don't emit more carbon than others. We all know that. But we have absolutely no way to have a baseline to start a cap and trade or anything that we choose to do. And so it's been a little of a Mr. Smith goes to Washington experience to watch how this unfolds because, you know, Senator Inhofe's not happy about it. I'm going to try to use Barbara Boxer's line, elections have consequences, and I don't have the gavel yet, but I'll try to do something like that. And then we now have the chamber. And again, I went through today, I read the 25 companies that are on board with this and have demanded action by the end of the year. 31 states now want a carbon registry. 31 states.
Mm-hmm.
And they are now starting their own. Now, how absurd is that? And it just shows this. When Louis Brandeis wrote that opinion calling the states the laboratory of democracy and talked about how one courageous state can take a lead on policy, he never meant inaction by the federal government. And we have never seen so much complacency on this issue of climate change. And
mm-hmm.
so Bernie Sanders, I see across the way, he and I are both on the Environment Committee, and we are going to continue to push on this issue, and we just have to do something. We can't keep going the way we are.
Now, the resource extractors and the industry that likes to call itself the energy industry instead of coal and gas and oil, that sector, I believe that they have to be brought, kicking and screaming into this. But there are some companies, for example, like insurance companies, that have been bearing the cost of climate change. And even if the CEO of a big insurance company can't 100% say that climate change contributed to Hurricane Katrina, they're able to see in the claims that come through and that they have to pay that there is a real cost. And so I think that's a starting point. Mm-hmm. But how do we get to the resource people, the energy industry, and convince them that it's in their best interest to recognize that regulation will occur, and so hard data and predictable costs are probably more important to them than trying to spend their excess profits right now to kill the whole scheme?
Well, I think a number of them are there. They did testify before a committee. They got a lot of good press for it. But I'd like to see some help from me on this bill, because if they are serious about this, then we need to get this climate change registry through. And, you know, you see this with the oil companies. It's just unbelievable what's gone on in the last few years. I couldn't believe the hubris when I read that they claimed that the reason that they weren't maintaining their refineries and producing more when they've gotten, the big five, $120 billion last year in profits, Exxon, $29 billion last year in profits, and now they say that they can't maintain these refineries properly. Well, you know, what just amazed me is when they blamed this on alternative fuels, when in fact there's 170,000 gas stations in this country, and only about 1,200 of them have alternative fuel pumps, and 314 of them are in the state of Minnesota.
Oh my.
So, you know, I this is the kind of thing we're up against. I think we need to take back these oil giveaways and put this into a renewable energy fund to develop. We spend over $200,000 a minute on foreign oil, and I am one, and I think this is coming out of my state. We believe in science. We brought the world the post-it note and the pacemaker. And so we see this as some opportunity. As horrible as global warming spectrum is, we also have to look at the opportunity for developing new technology and investing in the farmers and the workers of the Midwest instead of the oil cartels of the Mideast. And that's how I'm going about this. But we need, as Tom Friedman said in the New York Times in that cover page story, we need a Green New Deal. We need to set the standards high. We set the standards high, and that's our job as government, then the money will follow in the investment.
We're talking with Senator Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. So as you have gotten oriented as a new senator, what's been the biggest challenge in terms of trying to meet the expectations of your constituents?
Well, I think the biggest challenge is the war in terms of, and I wouldn't just say it's about expectations, it's about trying to get something done. And I went to Iraq back in March, and the thing that I most came away from was the moment that I stood on the tarmac in the Baghdad airport, and 9 Duluth, Minnesota firefighters called me over to stand with them as they saluted as 6 caskets draped in the American flag were loaded on this plane. And when I hear that congressman from Indiana say when he went to the farmer's market that his biggest memory was that, and it reminded him of a farmer's market in Indiana, I thought, I guess you weren't standing on that tarmac. And I have finally realized after 6 months of this, telling my people in my state and the country that, well, you know, the rules of the Senate work like this, and we really only have 49 votes, which is true, because we don't have Lieberman on the war, and we don't have Tim Johnson back yet, and we need 60 to break a filibuster. It really doesn't help when people are dying. And so, from my perspective, I think it's important to keep pushing votes and votes and votes. I voted for the Feingold Amendment. I talked to Russ last week. I'd like to see that come back before July. Senator Byrd and others have had an idea about changing the authorization, which I think is a good one that we need to explore. And then also Senator Webb is working on something about troop readiness and allowing people to come home the same amount of time that they're serving. So there's all kinds of ideas. I just think it's important to keep pushing the votes even when we know we're not going to win them. Right now, I think eventually we will, because sometimes we pick up Hagel and Smith, and sometimes we pick up Collins and Snow, and mm-hmm. sometimes we pick up Warner, and sometimes Coleman. Well, someday they're all going to come over and vote for something, and we don't know when that moment is, and that's why we need to keep pushing these votes.
Mm-hmm. So it's really in the hands of those Republicans you just named.
Well, it's in our hands too, though. I mean, we can't just say, well, we'll put our hands up in the air. The more we send this message to the American people that we're going to keep this up, that we're not going to let our soldiers down, that we're not going to let the world down, that we're going to try to get a change in course, I think the stronger that we are and the more people want to come with us. And there are people out there in the field that have been pushing and pushing. You know, I don't believe we can bring every troop home tomorrow, but I do believe that we can set a deadline to bring our combat troops home, with the understanding that some may remain to train the police and to guard our embassies and to work on special forces. I wouldn't wouldn't have gone into this war in the first place. I opposed it, as did many people in my state. Mm-hmm. Now that we're there, I want to find a responsible way to do it, and I think that is to make a clear message that we're going to transition to Iraqi authority, and the way you do that is by pushing these votes over and over and over again. As long as we're able to continue on with the domestic agenda, which we've done, we got minimum wage passed, got the 9/11 recommendations through, we're one vote short on vetoing the president on stem cell research. We got that bill through. The American Competes Act, now we're doing energy. So we've been able to slowly but surely work through this domestic agenda, the ethics reform legislation, but we have to keep going.
That's a little weak for me.
Yeah, but the Senate's better.
Let's extend the revolving door.
I completely agree with you on this. Mm-hmm. The Senate version is strong. Not everything I wanted, but the Independence Ethics Commission, things like that.
We need
it
that
had
too.
Some. Remember, we did that right away, that ethics reform. So anyway, get those domestic things through, but at the same time, keep going back to votes on the war. Mm-hmm. Is what we need to do.
Are you and other senators aware that in the language of the supplemental, as it was originally written with the timelines and benchmarks, it still was, I think, recommending, if not forcing, the Iraqi government to accept an oil-sharing arrangement. And this is also one of the benchmarks proposed by the Baker-Hamilton Commission. And many of us are very concerned about that because it does appear to try to lock in a scheme that will not benefit the Iraqis as much as it will multinational oil companies. And it underscores the perception, which many of us believe is true, that this was a war about oil.
You know, I believe we need to get some kind of oil revenue sharing law through the Iraqi government because there have been people that through Saddam's days were just completely screwed. They weren't getting the money. As for the details of it, I think that should be up to the Iraqi government. And I'm not sure the benchmark said exactly what it is. I think you're talking about a proposal, and I think we need to get a proposal through the Iraqi Congress, and they're the only ones that can do that, the parliament. But as for the details, I think they should be determined by that Iraqi government.
Mm-hmm. And are you firmly opposed to permanent U.S. bases in Iraq?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Good. Let me ask one other issue. Voting machines and the voting process. My listeners are very concerned about this, and the Holt bill in the House, the Feinstein proposal in the Senate, would lock in the computer-based machines, the DREs. It would provide a paper trail, but it doesn't define those as a ballot, and in certain circumstances, the paper trail would never be counted. And there are other issues that come up, too, allowing the source code to be retained by the companies. Are you comfortable with Holt and Feinstein, or would you like to see further work?
Well, first of all, let me tell you where I'm coming from. I'm coming from Minnesota, that had one of the most progressive voting registration that you can have in the country, and we consistently every year top the country with number of people voting. That's because we have same-day registration. We've had a paper trail. I remember I was the county attorney when the Kerry election happened, and I remember being very concerned because of Florida that we'd have problems. Minnesota was a swing state, and I had about 10 lawyers ready to go from our office on an official basis, mm-hmm. so that we would be ready to help with disputes. And with that same-day registration, record-high voting, as usual, Minnesota, across the country, within 2 hours, the only complaint we had, a question we had, was from a precinct judge. What do we do about a drunk voter? And so my point of that is you can have progressive voting laws and survive. So I'd want to look at the details of this bill, but I would like to see national change on this. Politically, as you know, the only way we can do this is if we take back the presidency, and then we can get this thing through. And I say to every state, when you take over a governor's office and the legislature, one of the first things you should do is to get a voting rules in place that are fair and that make it easier for people to vote. That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, great. Senator, a real pleasure to meet you.
Well, it was great.
Take care of the Saturn.
Being on again.
Nice to talk with you. Amy Klobuchar, the new senator from Minnesota, live in Washington, D.C. We're here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll return in just a moment.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests.
If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tom Hartman.
At the Glen Eagles G8 meeting, I think it might have been 2 years ago, the summary of the summit was, we're going to help reduce poverty, and we're going to relieve the debt of many of these nations.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Well, it turned out that it was a trick. It was an accounting trick. What they actually did was they said, okay, reduce poverty by $5 billion by eliminating $5 billion in debt. So they were double counting it, and then they never did either one.
Tom Hartman, weekday evenings on KRXA 540.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic. It's important and you need to know about it. Alright, so let's go to CHP. Did tell us about a crash. Here it is, it's in Soledad, southbound northbound 101 before Arroyo Seco. Big rig, two vehicles have been cleared to the right shoulder. We told you about that in our last report, but the good news, it's been cleared off to the shoulder. Also looking at a problem, let's see, we've got our San Benito County, North 101 after Cole Road, injury crash, four vehicles blocking the two left lanes, paramedics, fire department on scene there, helping out with that situation, obviously. Other than that, Highway 17, northbound and southbound, no word of any problems there. In fact, looking at Highway 1, pretty decent traffic between Santa Cruz and Monterey. This report brought to you by Mancini Sleep World.
Oh, my God, it's Dead Man's Curve. Hold on tight. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C. We're at the Washington Hilton, the scene of the Take Back America Conference. We were here last year. We're back this year, and 1,000 additional attendees. Lots of great presenters. We just met two of the freshman members of the United States Senate. They're about to go on stage for an evening presentation here, along with their colleague Bernie Sanders of Vermont, who many of our listeners are familiar with. And joining me now is Andrea Batista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute, and define your mission for people who are hearing you for the first time, Andrea.
Sure. We're a progressive think tank, and our goal is to create the tools that enable those on the front lines to do a better job advocating for social and economic justice.
That's a big, big task to take on.
We have a long name.
Yeah.
So, it fits.
How do we reconcile the huge disparities in income and wealth, the decline of incomes for working Americans, the burdens that they carry now, increased higher education costs and health care costs that the employer used to provide are now on their shoulders, and at the same time, it appears that many Americans identify with rich people and imagine through watching television that any day now the lottery is going to make them rich, or they're going to be a hip-hop superstar, or George Clooney's going to marry them. That's a friend of mine. Not George. No, a friend of mine is
okay.
Hoping that George is going to marry her. And yet, I think that there are many people who don't have realistic expectations, and it affects how they view themselves, and it often leads them not to participate in the system.
I think that's probably true. I think optimism is one of the things that defines this country, and so I don't want to err too much on the, you know, what's the matter with Kansas side of things, because I think then we develop a cynicism about how our fellow Americans view themselves and their lots in life. I think that we have failed to connect policy to the reality of people's lives, and we've failed at that in many ways. We failed at that through promoting electoral victories and party politics, so we haven't haven't done the real building to get people to understand what a bankruptcy bill means for them, or what taxation change, tax cuts mean for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what we need to be doing. We failed, you know, and the things that I'm obsessed with, but that probably sounds silly, like in civics education and trying to provide, the next generation of Americans with an understanding of how they can relate to their government. So I agree with what you're saying essentially, but I think the real thing that we need to focus on is connecting policy to the quality of people's lives if we want them to hold their members of their policymakers accountable.
Well, and the alternative is a kind of deep pandering, which I'm not proposing, but I would like to see people's enlightened self-interest drive them into looking more deeply at the issues and understanding how policy affects their very lives.
And I think some of it is that we have to do that work. So, you know, for example, DMI, as you know, has done work around immigration and trying to articulate a case for how progressive immigration policy, and I said progressive, not comprehensive, progressive immigration policy is in the best interest of the current and aspiring middle class. And so we do that because it's not enough on a debate this important to just leave it to, you know, smaller groups who are representing their constituencies. You have to go beyond constituency and make the case, and we need to do that with a whole variety of issues. Otherwise, then we can't be surprised when people don't understand that their economic interest is best represented by a certain governing philosophy or by a specific kind of policy. If we don't make that case, you know, just saying it's right isn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to, as you, you know, are positing, we have to speak to people's self-interest, but that means we need to do some homework to make that happen.
So, Andrea, what are some of the initiatives at the Drum Major Institute right now in that direction? How are you connecting people with policies that would benefit them?
Well, we're working hard on this immigration piece and really trying to get people to think about their economic interest in this, because, I mean, my fear is no matter what happens in Congress, if we don't start to try to shape hearts and minds around this debate, there will be no victory, even if they pass a bill tomorrow. So we're doing that work. Every year we release our scorecards of members of Congress on their middle class record. And, you know, I mean, there's no piece of legislation, the middle class bill, but we take things that are pretty good representatives of how somebody is supporting the middle class, either strengthening it, expanding it, and we release those scorecards with analyses that anybody can read and, you know, send every member of Congress home with a grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got our policy blog, and that isn't a quick hit political blog, so we don't get that kind of traffic, but we have a small following of people that are interested in talking about policy. And we just started a new blog, actually, relatively new, tortdeform.com, and that's, you know, one of the issues that I've been here talking about is, you know, corporate power and our willingness to call it what it is, and one of the big manifestations of that is in the dismantling of our civil justice system, so that, you know, you get to the point where everybody's laughing about this judge who sued his dry cleaner.
That's a frivolous lawsuit.
Frivolous lawsuit.
We got to get those,
you know,
frivolous
egregious
lawsuits out of here.
Exactly. And the fact that everybody knows about it shows you just how good they are.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've been trying to keep an eye on that because I think that gets to one of the core questions that underlies health care, immigration, everything, the role of corporate power and how government's going to respond.
Well, I'm not sending my pants to the cleaners while I'm here in Washington. But,
you don't have to.
But on the bigger issue,
we're just a bunch of liberals, you know.
How is
nobody
it,
has clean pants.
How is it that people have become persuaded that the legal system and that the lawyers are bad?
But they've done it. It's taken 30 years, and they've done it. They've done it through highlighting cases such as that one,
right,
and the media being complicit in that.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it through, you know, positioning lawyers as greedy and tapping into people's skepticism, you know, about those who seek to make a profit out of being a lawyer. Not a problem, if you run a different kind of company.
Yeah. Andrea, our time is up here,
great,
but it's a pleasure to see you. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you very much.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger from the Drum Major Institute in New York. I'm Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C. We've got another hour live from the Take Back America Conference coming up next right here.
Sorry.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
It's Gitmo. They're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that Fagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda tonight. Devils of our government.
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Boats patrolled the streets of Gainesville, Texas today, one of the towns devastated by floods that killed at least four people. Several others are missing. Matt Thomas of Station KRLD reports from Gainesville.
This cleanup effort is going to take quite some time. There is debris scattered all over the place, and we're now just starting to see piles of carpet that are being ripped out of homes as people are getting back to their homes now, and they're starting to try to clean up what is just a huge mess.
Among the deaths, a 60-year-old woman and her 5-year-old granddaughter. Their mobile home was swept away by the fast-moving water. A 2-year-old granddaughter is missing. There are so many horrors in Iraq, but this is unique. CBS News Chief Foreign Correspondent Lara Logan reports exclusively on a government-run orphanage in Baghdad where American troops found starving children tied to their cribs lying naked on the concrete floor in their own waste.
These soldiers have been in Iraq for 11 months now, many of them on their third deployment. One of them has spent 30 months in the country, and all of them have been blown up. All of them have lost fellow soldiers and seen the most horrific things, but without exception, they said this was the worst thing that they've seen in their time here. They were really quite moved, quite distressed.
They found the people running the facility in the kitchen cooking food for themselves. The orphanage was well stocked with food and clothing, but the soldiers believe it was being sold rather than given to the children. The Bush administration changed policy in the Mideast today, hoping to prop up the new government formed by Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, a government that does not include Hamas. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice announced a resumption of U.S. aid.
Rice made clear Washington's view: the Bush administration does not intend to abandon the 1.5 million Palestinians who live in Gaza.
There is one Palestinian people, and there should be one Palestinian state.
Pledging to lift economic and political restrictions on the new Palestinian government, Rice indicated an initial pledge of $40 million for humanitarian aid. The money would be distributed by the UN. The administration's policy of not dealing with Hamas, which actually controls Gaza, has not changed. Charles Wolfson, CBS News, the State Department.
You'll notice something new on your next visit to Walmart.
Today, June 18th, is officially the retirement date for Walmart's nearly 40-year-old blue vest.
Company spokeswoman Shannon Frederick says the new dress code is blue shirts and khakis.
We're not specifying the associates have to have a logo or a specific style of shirt. It just has to be dark navy blue, and they have to wear it with khaki pants. And Walmart is giving every associate two shirts and an allocation to purchase pants.
They say it makes employees more recognizable to customers. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 26 points, closing at 13,612. The Nasdaq down a fraction. This is CBS News.
Ah, summer. It's travel time. Vacation time.
Dad, are we almost there?
We're not lost, are we?
Honey, wasn't that our exit?
Daddy, what does detour mean?
Did you even look at the map?
This little travel reminder is brought to you by Garmin Street Pilot GPS, where you'll find all the directions you need.
Turn left on Pine Street.
For the most worry-free vacation ever. Garmin, the leader in navigation.
Reason number 13 to switch to GEICO. Everybody else is doing it. Now, we know that logic never won an argument with your mom, especially when you were lobbying for that BB gun. You could put an eye out or something. But when it comes to car insurance, joining the crowd could be a good thing. Last year, more than 3 million drivers switched to GEICO for savings, round-the-clock service, and the latest in online technology. Yep, millions switched, and nobody put a single eye out.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
If you drive an older car, it's less likely these days that you'll have to get a periodic emissions test. CBS News correspondent John Harchie explains.
An increasing number of states, seven by USA Today's count, have eliminated pollution checks on pre-1996 cars. It's simply easier. From 96 on, cars have what mechanics call OBD2, an onboard diagnostic system. A pollution checker merely plugs in a scanner tool to see if your car is clean, instead of inserting probes into the tailpipe, hooking up wires, and revving your engine for a while, as required on older vehicles. And the EPA estimates only about a quarter of the vehicles on the road are 1995 or older.
The Queen Elizabeth II will make one final voyage to the Persian Gulf. Launched in 1967, the ocean liner has made more than 800 Atlantic crossings, carrying more than 2.5 million passengers between England and the United States. Now it's been purchased for $100 million by a government-owned holding company in Dubai, where it will be docked and converted to a luxury hotel. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Can you guess where is Michelin Man? After driving 2,000 miles from L.A., he's pulling up to the world's largest baseball bat, seven stories high. For his big trip to the Big Bat, he chose Michelin Primacy MX V4 tires. Smooth ride, mile after mile, and an unprecedented 60,000-mile warranty. So take a stab, or should I say swing, at guessing Michelin Man's location. Then visit MichelinMan.com/guesswhere for the answer. Plus more on Michelin Primacy MX V4 tires.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Hey, Dave. Mike here. Hey, this afternoon at around 2:27, the plumbing's going to back up with a lot of grayish, goopy stuff. It'll all overflow onto the tile floor and make a nice little safety hazard. Cool? Anyway, just thought you should know.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Granger's just added thousands of new plumbing products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. Valves, fittings, fixtures, toilets, water heaters, whatever it takes. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Granger.com. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
We are live from Washington, D.C. at the Washington Hilton, the scene of the Take Back America conference. I'm Peter B. Collins. I'm glad you're with us. And we are here today and tomorrow. And you can catch our act on our website at peterbcollins.com. There's also a great website at ourfuture.org where they're blogging the event. And some of the speeches are captured either in a live stream or on the archive side. And so there are a lot of opportunities for you to log on and check in. And they have a really impressive lineup for tomorrow, where a number of the presidential candidates will be here, including Barack Obama, Bill Richardson, John Edwards. And I know that Senator Clinton is speaking on Wednesday. I will be flying back and unable to experience that. But a lot of action here, and it's really impressive to see all these progressives from all over the country converge here for this annual conference that is bigger than ever. And we routed him from the upstairs bar, Phil Angelides, former state treasurer of California, former chair of the Democratic Party, and our standard bearer last year against Arnold Schwarzenegger. Phil, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for rousting me out of the bar. That's not true. I was working hard. I was in a meeting, and I'm going back to the meeting.
We just have slow escalators here.
I'm doing great. This has been a great day. What a gathering.
Isn't it neat?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I came out last night. I actually have to return to California tomorrow, and I've been saying I wish I'd stayed. There's so much energy here and such a diverse group of people from throughout the country, from so many walks of life, a lot of young kids here.
It's enervating, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's enervating. That's what it is.
And it's also, you know, because the media brings all these conservative messages to us all the time, and we often feel that we are a minority, progressives in this country. But a great study was released at the launch of this event, co-authored by Our Future and by Media Matters, And it shows that on a host of really important issues, most Americans are on the progressive side. Whether it comes to health care, a woman's right to choose, the war in Iraq, the other failures of the Bush administration. And this is kind of a boot camp, I think, to help people get in touch with that and recognize that we're not an oppressed minority, we're just oppressed.
And, you know, I will say this, it's also a great organizing opportunity. I've seen people here talk about how they can get together to wage a very successful campaign to reclaim the country. And I'll tell you, Peter, one thing that's really struck me is that Bush's presidency has been so damaging to this country that a lot of people I know who are independents and Republicans themselves now are crying out for change. I've seen an incredible sea change in people's thinking, understanding the country now needs a challenge. It needs to be challenged in terms of our role in the world. It needs to be challenged in terms of how we build an economy that's sustainable and has a quality of opportunity. People are ready. This is going to be a big election. If we do it right.
You gave a speech today, and I was disappointed because at lunchtime in this cavernous ballroom, it was very difficult to hear everything you said. But you were offering a vision for a green future and acknowledging the issues of climate change. And instead of resisting and trying to buy time and just push it to somebody else's administration, you're talking about creating a real win-win, a new set of industries built around the problems that we need to solve.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. We face enormous challenges. Whether Karl Rove believes in global warming or not, it is here, and it's going to revolutionize our economy. We face great challenges from this nation's oil addiction. Not only this war that is bogging us down, wounding our conscience, our young men and women, but we're also in a century where we're going to run out of oil. We're also facing a challenge to our economic competitiveness as other countries grab the brass ring and begin to retool their economies to the new economic and environmental reality. The fact is, America's got to get a move on. And we have a choice. We can either capture all the potential of this greening of the economy, have the good-paying jobs, the technological innovations, lead the world, or we can fall woefully behind. And I believe that what we ought to be doing in America is really two things. Setting very high environmental expectations, reducing carbon emissions, increasing vehicle fuel efficiency, making buildings more efficient, embracing smart growth, in a sense set very high expectations, and then marry those with tax credits, other incentives, investments that help speed the transition of our economy. If we do that, we are going to create an economy of sustained wealth in the 21st century.
We're talking with Phil Angelides, the former state treasurer of California and the Democratic candidate for governor last year. And he's with us another 5 or 6 minutes. So if you have a question or a comment, feel free to give us a call toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You like my vanity number?
I want one of those.
Yeah?
Is that on your license plate?
No.
Good. That's,
no.
That's a good thing.
Toll free numbers and email addresses are the vanity plates that we never got around to.
Oh, okay.
What's your email?
My email. I'm not going to give my email. No, it's, you know what? It's pa@angelides.com.
Oh, how simple.
It is. It's pretty simple. But my real real website is standingupforcalifornia.com, where you can go on, and we're mobilizing progressives across California around issues like the war in Iraq, around solutions to global warming. Mm-hmm. Standingupforcarlfornia.com.
Okay. Back
Which
when the you know missing emails were announced, and we learned about these off the books websites at the Republican National Committee, I tried sending a test email to turdblossom@gwb43.com, and it didn't go through. It's just KR. To reach
KR?
Karl Rove. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just KR.com?
No, KR@GWB43.com.
Oh, gosh.
So now you know.
I'll email him tonight, back in my room, after I'm out of the bar.
So, Phil, what's it like? Have you decompressed? I mean, worked in politics for 20 years, state party chair. You were all up and down the state raising money, supporting candidates, 2 terms as state treasurer, and then up into the maelstrom there, taking on Arnold Schwarzenegger. Have you recovered? Is there a 12-step?
Is there a 12-step? Well, first of all, I've been active my whole life since I was a college student and the Vietnam War was going. So whether I was a young person in public service or I had my own business for 15 years, I always engaged in the fights that matter. Now, I will tell you that I don't think I quite realized after this election how tired I was. It's an exhausting endeavor. Yeah. You know, six cities a day, 400,000 miles. And so, a little recovery this year, a little re-energizing, recharging the batteries. My wife and I went to Argentina and Peru. We had an incredible time.
Nice.
We have always spent a lot of time with our daughters. In fact, my daughters were on the campaign trail along with Julie all the time. But we're actually now doing things they want to do. They were great. Megan, my oldest, and Christina were full-time on the campaign. But, you know, my youngest daughter's at University of Washington, Seattle. I was up for Dad's Day at the sorority. My oldest girl's getting married in July. It's a decompression year.
Yeah.
But I'm getting back up for the fight. I'm storing up the batteries. I'm recharging. And I'll be raring to go for 2008.
Well, thank you for running last year.
I
supported you over Steve Wesley. I thought you were a much more dynamic candidate and able to challenge Schwarzenegger much more effectively than Steve could. And I really thought you championed some great issues, talking about rolling back fees at the universities and community colleges, and really recognized the squeeze on working people in California.
Well, look, I'm disappointed I didn't win. But I know this. Had we not been on the playing field fighting hard for what we believed in, there would not have been an increase in the minimum wage. There would not have been a freeze in college fees. There would not have been a global warming bill. There would not be a governor today who's talking about extending health care coverage. All of these are things that Schwarzenegger opposed, and he only got with the program when he realized that we were in sync, as you started talking today, with the majority of Californians. So he won the office, but we won the day. And I think he's going to think hard about returning to the Arnold of 2005 or the Nixon-loving, Bush-loving Arnold, because he knows the Californians won't tolerate it.
Yeah. Well, and you injected the war into a statewide race, and I appreciated that. I think it was important because you were running against a guy who was using Bush's top consultants and who was embracing certain elements of the Bush agenda when it suited his political purpose.
And here's another example. We pushed on that. They criticized me. And in the end, Schwarzenegger reversed course before the election and said he would support a timeline for withdrawal. So across the board, we were on the right side of history. And, he played catch-up. I also found, look, making no excuses, one reason I'm enjoying this conference so much is it's a chance to talk about the enduring challenges in front of us. And in today's electoral environment, where the average soundbite for candidates is 6 seconds on TV.
Well, it's been clipped to four.
Yeah, about four. I'm moving down. Hey! And I'm Phil. Where the newspapers cover nothing but the horse race and the quotes from the consultants and the strategists and the daily polls, or the he said, she said, I got you stuff. It's very hard for a lot of people to really get a sense of what the real debate is here. I'm reading Al Gore's new book, The Assault on Reason. Excellent book. I recommend it to everyone.
Yeah.
Talks about the things we need to do to return politics and the electoral process to a real debate about our future, the public forum.
Well, I think a lot of it starts with the media.
And oh, boy, does it.
It really is challenging to try to get an honest message out when they're just playing gotcha and,
Well, I'll tell you.
Want to go through your garbage.
I will never. By the way, one thing about the campaign. I talked about how hard it was physically. It was also the most enervating experience of my lifetime. You know, in the course of any given day, you'd meet hundreds of people who were so inspiring. People working two jobs. Kids working 30 hours a week to go to community college. You met so much inspiration and energy out there. It's hard to be cynical about California and what we can be and about politics. But I will tell you, it was very challenging to try to get your message out through the media. I remember working very hard for a period of 2 weeks on what I thought was one of my best speeches about health care in California. Gave a heck of a speech. Not one print reporter covered it. The TVs reduced it down to today Phil Angelis was in Los Angeles talking about health care. Meanwhile, Arnold Schwarzenegger hugged three puppies. So you juxtapose that to the night I went to Pink's Hot Dogs, which are great hot dogs in L.A., by the way, on the Brea. Oh, they're the best.
Yeah.
But there I made chili cheese dogs with my three daughters. I got 5 minutes on the news. Go figure, huh? But they are great hot dogs, and the pinks are Democrats.
You know, if you'd offered free facelifts for every female voter in California, it would have led every channel in Los Angeles that night.
Oh, boy.
Phil, thank you very much. It's really great to see you.
Nice to see you, Peter.
And you're looking healthy and well, and I think the rest is suiting you well.
No, people tell me you look good, which makes me think, how the heck did I look last year? All right.
He's looking a lot better, and he's got to head back to that meeting. Make mine a scotch and water, will you? That's Phil Angelides. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C., here at the Take Back America Conference. Cliff Schechter is going to join us next. Stay tuned. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wine, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention, whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Well, there we go. That's the music to get a little traffic. Hello. Oh, boy, Mondays. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Things are looking pretty good, actually. Let's see, Highway 17, northbound and southbound. Not much to talk about there because there's nothing going on. We do have a problem in San Benito County, still ongoing. And that would be on the northbound 101 after Cole. Injury crash, four vehicles. Looks like they've been cleared out of the lanes now, which is the good news. However, traffic is still very slow approaching the scene there. Also want to let you know we have road work on Santa Cruz northbound 1 at Emmeline, 24 hours a day, long-term road work, by the way. And a quick advisory that Carmel, between Highway 1, between Ocean Avenue and Merritt, delays possible due to a moving closure of the right lane from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily, by the way.
Whatever. I'm Peter. Peter B. Collins on what we call a live remote. We're in Washington, D.C., and we're the last live broadcast here in Radio Row at the Take Back America Conference at the Hinckley Hilton here in Washington. Cliff Schechter joins me now, and Cliff is a blogger and author and political activist, and he brought me a candy bar. And you're the only one who I'm interviewing today who brought me a gift. Katrina brought me some chocolate from Germany.
Wow.
But that's not Plugola or Payola.
Hers is all the way from Germany. Mine's from Cincinnati.
But you went to Grater's, which is my all-time favorite ice cream purveyor.
Yes.
And I guess they're mostly in Cincinnati, but maybe they've expanded to Louisville or something like that.
They've gone to Louisville and up to Columbus. And I have to say, honestly, grew up in New York on the Carvel stuff.
I like that.
Which is very good. And I spent some time in Europe, and all the Belgian chocolate. Nothing matches Grater's.
Yeah.
People should know. You really should go to Cincinnati and the whole area simply for Grater's.
Well, I was a little let down by the candy bar, honestly, Cliff, because when you reached in your briefcase earlier today, I thought I was going to see dry ice and a pint of the chocolate chip, which has chips about this big.
Well, that's what I'm sending to you in the mail.
Oh, okay.
And so for people to know, when you go get your chocolate, you can also visit the very nice Creationist Museum in northern Kentucky. Learn about how we roamed the earth along with dinosaurs.
And didn't the guy who played Jesus or Adam or somebody turned out to be a porn star?
Isn't that awesome? They had a film on Adam and Eve, and they found out that Adam had some extracurricular activities.
Mm-hmm.
He certainly bit from the apple, you could say.
Is he a relative of Jeff Gannon's? Do we know?
I hope so, because if he's not a relative, then he's probably met him in other ways.
Oh, my. Cliff Schechter is with us here in Washington. What do you think of this Take Back America thing? You're here blogging.
Yeah, I think this is great. Look, this is a fifth year, and I wasn't here in the first couple, but I was here last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the energy is palpable. Last year, it was a little more depressing because we can actually win and take advantage of the fact that the GOP are pretty much the party of Al Capone. And it looks like I think we've done it. At least look, 2006, it's not perfect. We don't have all the progressives in there. We want to get in there, but we're making strides.
So mention your websites while I have more of your candy here.
Okay, enjoy the candy.
Right.
CliffSchechter.com.
Mm-hmm. How do you spell Schechter?
S-C-H-E-C-T-E-R.
You just met Danny.
I did. Danny has an
Schechter
extra H.
Schechter to Schechter.
I know, it's been strange.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, we chopped our H off on the boat over.
I see. You just hurled it overboard?
Yeah, what are you going to do? That's one site, and then there's therealmccain.com where I write about the good senator, and I will be publishing my book, which is also called The Real McCain, they tell me in October.
And that's just a crass effort to cash in on his pre-presidential celebrity, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything I do is pretty much a crass effort.
So you recently went with a video crew on a fact-finding mission in Arizona.
I did.
And what did you find? Is there unrest in John McCain's base?
There really is. There are Minutemen there who would like to see John McCain.
One if by land? No. Wrong one.
Two if by over the fence?
Yeah. One if by land, two on the Rio Grande.
Nice! they may adopt that slogan.
Right. So these are the great patriots, the nutcases, who volunteer to guard the border. Next to the border, the National Guardsmen who have been deployed there with no assignment, and so some of them have taken to sneaking immigrants in or illegals for a fee.
That's
pretty active down there.
Well, I went down to the border in Nogales, and it actually is a pretty depressing sight. You take a look at they have a fence there, and you can just see the poverty on the other side. And of course, I was warned to not get too close to it by the border patrolman because they might throw, this is a quote, a toilet or a dead cat over the top at me.
Really?
Which is nothing worse than right wingers have thrown at me before, but I was kind of shocked by it. I was like, toilet's okay. I'm rather fond of cats, so I didn't think that was a good idea. But we were filming there. The point was we wanted to talk to people on the right about McCain because I've talked to plenty of veterans and people on the left and the center. I wanted to get their view, and they used the same language. Presidential ambition, vindictive. They're not fans of his either, so I'm not sure where his fan base is coming from at this point.
What about the A word, amnesty? How often was that peppered?
Oh, my. Amnesty was, about 50, 100 times a day.
Any supporters of amnesty for Scooter Libby down there?
I would guess yes. I didn't ask them, but it is interesting how many people want a free Scooter while arresting anybody who climbs over a fence to try and find food and stuff.
Interesting It's not quite a contradiction. It's just a dichotomy, I guess.
We can call it that. But yeah. Interesting that many of the same ones thought that Bill Clinton should have been convicted of, you know, of perjury. And you know, it wasn't
not
about
good.
Sex, remember.
Right.
It was about lying.
No BJs involved.
Exactly. Nothing.
Cliff, great to see you. Thanks for the candy bar.
Hey, always a pleasure.
CliffSchechter.com, TheRealMcCain.com, and Graders.com. I'm sure there's a website there. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C. Thanks for listening. We'll return in a moment.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
There's a new full-service spa and salon in the heart of downtown Monterey at 397 Calle Principal. Gigi's Spa and Salon offers massage, facials, manicures, pedicures, haircuts, and styling, specializing in hair coloring, makeup, eyelash color, and extension, all wedding needs, and much more. Gigi's Spa and Salon is an experience that you must see to appreciate. It's a beautifully relaxing experience for both men and women. All the products used are the very best. If you are pregnant and want your nails or hair colored or permed, it's not a problem because all our products are odor-free and all natural. From now until June 30th, reserve a massage or body treatment or a facial, and you will get a free special treatment that's exclusive to Gigi's Spa and Salon. The Gigi's Signature Spa Shampoo. This is an experience your whole body will never forget. Call 372-0888 now and reserve your spot so you can treat your body to the unique services that await you at Gigi's Spa and Salon. Visit MontereyGigiSpaSalon.com for more information.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Karma Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Karma Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I founded a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
Live.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Three minutes after the hour, we're riding with Steve Miller here, living in the USA. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Washington, D.C. We're at the Hinckley Hilton here at the scene of the Take Back America conference. We were here last year, and this year it's bigger and more exciting, and I'm just having a great old time meeting a lot of people we already knew, but maybe have only talked to over the phone, reconnecting with folks like Phil Angelides, getting to meet Sherrod Brown and Senator Klobuchar from Minnesota. I got to introduce the two Schechters to one another. I mean, this is just a fabulous event. We've got lines open if you'd like to check in with us and let us know what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Bill Scherr joins us now. He's the online editor for the Campaign for America's Future, and I have mentioned the website, ourfuture.org, and, Bill, you've kind of taken over the website for exclusive coverage here of Take Back America.
That's right. It's been an amazing first day. Energy in this whole event has been overwhelming. Everyone is very excited to take these historic election victories of last year and start to really transform that into lasting and concrete change. And, you know, there's an underlying current here that there's been some frustration amongst the grassroots that that change hasn't come faster. Mm-hmm. I think the most important thing that I heard this morning was from Eli Pariser from MoveOn.org that says, if you're waiting for the folks in Washington to make this change happen, you didn't learn the lesson of 2006. You know, those election victories happened because we the people got engaged, got back involved, and took the country back by the horns.
Mm-hmm. And who was it? Was it Keith Ellison who was saying, you know, that LBJ wasn't there to help Martin Luther King desegregate the schools and our public establishments? It took the pressure of people in the streets and the wide group of Americans who supported Dr. King and his efforts to really shame LBJ into it.
Right.
He was a redneck from the South.
I think Ellison all said, you know, politicians see the light once they feel the heat.
Right.
And that's what this is about. You got about 3,000 people from 40 states all across the country here making connections, sharing ideas, honing strategies, figuring out, you know, what do we have to do to get universal health care on the table, to get a real global warming strategy on the table, to get a strategy out of Iraq on the table, to as what Bob Borisage, the head of Campaign for America's Future, said, challenge the limits of the debate. Don't let the Washington establishment narrow what is considered legitimate to talk about. If the people get involved and expand what's possible and talk about big, bold ideas and not timid incrementalism, we can really make big change in this country.
Well, and there was a handout today from an editorial published over the weekend in the well-known left-wing publication called the Wall Street Journal. Murdoch doesn't own it yet. And it basically said that progressives, the prescription there is that progressives need to move to the left, that the Democrats Democratic Party needs to move a little to the left to win. And I believe that. I've been, you know, articulating that for a couple of years now. And I think that while pollsters and consultants push candidates to take centrist positions, to play it safe, to build on your name ID, then I think people are really ready for candidates who want to push the limits a little bit, take a few risks, take some chances, acknowledge that everybody doesn't have to agree with me, the candidate, on every issue in order to support me.
I only tweaked that a little bit. You know, we just put out a report, Campaign for America's Future and Media Matters for America. We put out a report last week about the conservative myth, how this is myth that America is a conservative country when, in fact, you go issue after issue after issue. The country is a liberal, progressive country. And you talk about moving left. You know, that was the headline of the Wall Street Journal piece. There's an implication there that we have some crazy idea that we want to move away from the center of the country. The center of the country is a liberal, progressive progressive center. That's where the country is. And it's a question of getting the folks in Washington to understand that. We're not asking you to move away from something and be on the fringe. We're asking you to be in the sweet spot of the country. The country is demanding guaranteed universal health care coverage. The country is demanding energy independence. They're demanding the end of the occupation in Iraq. We're asking you to do what the people want you to do. And if you do that kind of bold that bold politics to challenge what the obstructionist conservatives are doing, and to show that you're willing to fight for them to the last day, you're going to build and broaden your mandate. What's happening right now is that they got a little bit of a mandate coming out of the elections last year, which is shrinking. You know, Congress's approval is lower than Bush's approval right now. I mean, if you're lower than Bush, that's probably the biggest insult of all. You know, Bush is at 29 and the Congress is at 23.
Ah, wait. He's really big in Albania.
Don't forget Poland. Don't forget Poland.
A major part of the coalition.
Yeah. And why is that? It's not because people are saying the Congress is too liberal. It's saying you're not fighting hard enough to get us out of Iraq and do these other big, important domestic things that we're asking you to do. The decline in support has been on the left, which is where, again, the sweet spot of the country. So they have to internalize that message, and hopefully with this gathering here and the largest collection of progressive media ever assembled, 350 media outlets here, including blogs, showing that there's this infrastructure that's being built that allows us to define what we believe in our own terms and not be misdefined and distorted by the right-wing media machine. We're getting that ability now. Shows like yours are incredibly important to taking back this country, and hopefully we're going to get a very clear message coming out of this conference, what we stand for, what we can do, and the politicians will hopefully follow.
We're talking with Bill Scherr, S-C-H-E-R. He's the online editor for this event, the Campaign for America's Future and Take Back America. His first book, Wait, Don't Move to Canada, was published in 2006, and it says here he is featured in the recently released Proud to Be Liberal. Are we allowed to say liberal anymore?
I think we are. I think we have to, myself. When liberal can be treated as a slur, when government can be treated as a slur, it's very hard to defend your ideas on the merits. A slur is so powerful, you don't get to the merits. You get knocked off the page. You know, John Kerry in 2004 had a health care plan. He would swear up and down, this is not a government plan, there's no new bureaucrats, it's a moderate plan. What happens? You get ads from the right saying it's a big government liberal plan. That's the end of the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But if liberal's not a slur anymore, and if government's not a slur anymore, then that kind of attack line doesn't work. And we saw an opening there. You know, they tried all of those attack lines in 2006, and they didn't stick because the failures of conservatism were so overwhelming and daunting, and people were so sick and tired of it, they were willing to try whatever the alternative was. That's fine to win one election. You want to win election after election after election, you have to be articulating a very clear and enticing vision for the public to get behind. And once that happens, you're practically unstoppable. You can keep them election after election after election, yeah. And those kinds of slurs aren't going to work.
I'm proud to be a liberal, and while I do use the term progressive because it's a little bit less charged, I believe that liberalism can stand on its own. I believe that liberal values do represent most Americans, and I'd like to see us the way some homosexuals have reclaimed the word queer. I'd like to see lefties, Democrats, progressives, whatever we care to call ourselves, not be afraid to reclaim the term liberal.
Well, the key there, and this is what Wait Don't Move to Canada was about, how do you do that? You know, it's one thing to say, I'm going to embrace it. Well, okay, but let's understand the problem is people don't understand what liberal means anymore because we have allowed conservatives to define it.
Now, poisoned. Yeah.
That's right. Well, what does it mean? What does it have to say about government? What does it have to say about taxes? What does it have to say about foreign policy? So what I said in the book was, instead of conservatives treating this debate about government as a question of size, big versus small, mean, big, evil, intrusive government versus wonderful, small, lean, efficient government. You know, size is not the issue to liberals. It's the quality. It's the nature of its government.
According to all the emails I get, size matters.
In my mind, liberal government is representative, it's responsive, and it's responsible. It represents all of us, whether you're black, white, Asian, rural, urban, suburban, Christian, Jew, Muslim, atheist, it represents all of us. It's responsive. It does what we ask it to do. It's not imposing things on the public. It's following our lead, and it's responsible in managing our natural resources and managing our financial resources. That's the essence of liberal government to me, and you can contrast that now with what 6 years of conservative government has been like. Yeah. It's been reckless with our resources. It's been elitist in who it serves, and it's been callous to people's needs.
We're talking with Bill Scherer here at the Take Back America Conference. And Bill, just slide your microphone over that way a little bit.
Sure.
I want to turn this little laptop around. And I wanted to ask you to give us a little tour of the Take Back America website. It's at ourfuture.org. That's O-U-R, ourfuture.org. And we've got some live blogging going on here at the event. There's a live chat room. These videos here are the speakers coming up in the next couple of days.
Well, the great part about this, even if you can't be at the conference personally, and if you are in the D.C. area or want to take a very quick road trip, you can still register on site for Tuesday and Wednesday. But if you can't come, you can see live webcasts of the presidential speeches. We're going to be hearing from Senator Clinton, Senator Obama, Senator Edwards, Senator Gravel, Representative Kucinich, and Governor Richardson. You're going to see all of that live on the website. There's going to be other video that will be a couple hours after the fact from some of the bigger events, speeches, and panel discussions. And there's live chat. You can watch those videos and chat with people across the country about what you're seeing, give your own thoughts, add your comments to the blog. Any blogging that you do or photos that are taken or video that's taken by people that are here, that gets uploaded to the site. So it's a very interactive site. And it's an interactive conference. I went to the conservative conference, the CPAC, Conservative Political Action Committee. That's a very top-down conference.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of interaction going on. You're sitting there, and people are braiding you and brainwashing you and putting their messages down your throat, and you're supposed to go out there and repeat them. This is much more bottom-up here. There's much more Q&A. There's much more discussion. There's much more idea sharing. There are people that created their own sessions that you can do online, and they would have their own panel discussions that they host themselves on site. And so the idea is that everyone's going to come here and collaborate. All 3,000 people who are collaborating and taking those honed strategies back to their communities and taking those messages back to those communities and building up this progressive movement from the ground up.
Well, and that's important because it doesn't all happen here in Washington. And as I was talking earlier with Ben Barnes this evening from Texas, we need a 50-state strategy. We cannot concede that just because it was red in 04 or red in 2000, that is a permanent condition. And that even if we don't convert the presidential voters to support a Democrat, that you ultimately lose lower ticket races if you don't contest at all.
Absolutely. And, we tend to psych ourselves out. And that's why I called the book Wait, Don't Move to Canada, because when things go wrong for us, we tend to kind of get in the fetal position. We think the whole country's against us. We're in the minority. There's no way we could beat back the conservative America. And we disengage. And when we disengage, that makes the conservative movement very happy.
Mm-hmm.
When we lost in 2004, I think we all kind of felt punched in the gut. Bush's economy was weak. The war wasn't going well. That's the kind of conditions where people say, I want to change. I want to change this presidency. And it didn't happen. So we got kind of punched in the gut with it. And Grover Norquist, who is the main figure of the conservative movement, he said at the time that the Democrats in Congress are going to be like neutered farm animals, that we're not going to get in anybody's way. That's how they want us to be. They want us to be neutered. They want us to not care. They want us to think there's nothing we can do about it. When people were talking in 2006 that the elections were going to be rigged, so why bother? Conservatives love that.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, and not to say there aren't problems with their voting systems, because there are, but it was not rigged from the get-go. We could overwhelm the system with turnout, and we did. And now we're in a position where you actually can get some of that voting reform that's so necessary so our democracy can be stronger than it is now. You weren't going to get that with Republicans still in charge.
Right. Well, and we need to overcome their margin of graft. That's one of the arguments I've made. Dave joins us now from the Pinnacles in San Benito County. Hello, Dave. You're on the air. This is Peter B. with our friend Bill Scherer.
Well, hi, Peter and Bill. Hey, I was just wondering, is there any chatter over a renewed 911 investigation at the conference?
I can hear you a little bit, Dave. I think you asked if there's any discussion about a new 9/11 investigation. And honestly, today in all of the sessions, I didn't hear any mention of it. So it didn't come up. I've raised a number of issues related to voting issues and the war in Iraq with some of our guests. But so far, I haven't heard anything about a new 9/11 investigation. So thanks for that question today. Bill?
I would say, we have these self-organizing sessions where anyone can come and talk about what they want to talk about. For example, there wasn't an impeachment session that was on the official program, but there are a lot of people here that are interested in impeachment, so they put an impeachment session on the program.
Yeah, I attended that this afternoon.
I did not see anyone put a 9/11 investigation thing on the agenda. If someone was here that was interested in it, they could have, but that doesn't seem to be a main focus of discussion here.
Yeah. Well, Bill, it's a real pleasure to meet you. Thanks for your work. I enjoyed talking with you.
Thanks so much for having me.
We want people to check out the website at ourfuture.org. Where you can get much more information, and particularly over the next few days, catch some of the speeches from presidential contenders. And because of the time shift, I know, for example, Hillary Clinton is speaking on Wednesday morning. Go for the archive version of that. I don't want you getting up at 5 o'clock to hear Senator Clinton. Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to talk with you. We'll return in just a moment here live from Washington, D.C. on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The Retirement Specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the Retirement Specialist.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
It's 8 minutes in front of the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, wrapping up our first day of live coverage of the Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. And it's been a great day here. I want to thank my able producer, Katrina Rill, and also Candy Stroud and the entire team here at Radio Row for hosting us and providing technical support and great guest introductions and that sort of thing. I want to introduce you next to Christina Wilfor. She is with the Ballot Initiative Strategy Center. Welcome.
Thank you.
What is the Ballot Initiative Strategy Center?
Well, we're an organization. I like to talk about our work as a think and do tank.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one, on one hand, understanding what are the initiative strategies that work for the left, in recognition that the right wing has had a ballot measure strategy for years that has rolled back policies we care about, that has wedged our voters, that has caused us to spend a bunch of money on things that we would rather not have to fight at the ballot.
Oh, like paycheck protection.
Paycheck protection.
Which is a euphemism for non-union people imposing their way on union.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Even issues like the ban on gay marriage. I mean, let's be real. That was already banned and already illegal in every state that they did an initiative strategy in. So they did a whole initiative strategy based on making it super duper illegal, right? So they use these things as a tool. And what we're trying to do with the center is understand what are the tools that we can do, what are the strategies, what are the ideas that we can take to voters that appeal to a progressive cause and values.
So can we use it to enhance turnout, to wedge the opposition, and to jam things on them that they don't want and make them super-duper legal?
Absolutely, and we did that with pretty good success in 2006 especially, where we had minimum wage on the ballot in six states. We had new people elected to federal office, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Sherrod Brown in Ohio, John Tester in Montana. Every state there had a ballot measure to increase the minimum wage where you had Republican incumbents who had voted for 10 years against increasing the minimum wage, and so was able to show contrast. What are you about? What's your idea of the economy? Who are you appealing to? And these were particularly appealing to Democratic drop-off voters who may not have shown up to the polls otherwise, but who were motivated on a ballot measure on a specific issue that spoke to their values. And so we were able to construct these campaigns in a way that brought them to the polls and that actually had results at the top of the ticket.
Mm-hmm. So, prospectively, what are you working on in the next couple of election cycles that might achieve some of the goals you just described?
Well, you know, I think here's my sort of lessons, especially with a conference like this. We are not lacking of ideas on the left. We have lots of good ideas, lots of interesting policy issues that we'd like to do. What we're lacking is a political strategy to get them in a popular place, that voters understand them, that we have candidates who embrace them. So let's eat our vegetables before we go to dessert, and let's think about... I know, very sad, right? We
I
all
like
want to go
for
to...
breakfast. What do you mean?
So we're in that vegetable eating period with real research, mm-hmm. which means we need a poll and focus group and study issues and think about some of the national things like Iraq, like global warming, like predatory lending, payday loan reform, variety of issues that could work as ballot measures, but we need to be very specific about who are they appealing to, do you have a backlash effect, are they important, and will they bring out the right voters that understand the progressive agenda at large.
In California, our legislature has passed a resolution which would be on the ballot next during the presidential primary that's been moved up to February related to Iraq.
Right.
What I haven't heard is whether Schwarzenegger has approved that.
Right.
But that notwithstanding, there is a potential. I certainly support it. I haven't even read the resolution, but if it's against mm-hmm. Iraq, I'm for it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we have to look at what that does and how it's used by the other side when Melanie Morgan finds out and riles up the right-wingers who helped her qualify the recall of Governor Davis and other things in California. And sometimes progressives, it appears, don't really think it all the way through and consider the blowback.
Exactly. And there's a prime example of that in the 2006 election. So let's take Missouri in 2006. Everyone thought stem cell, this is a great issue for Democrats, for progressive candidates. We are on the right side of this issue. We are boxing in conservatives. Not the case in how this worked in when it was on the ballot in Missouri in 2006. We did post-election research that showed it was more motivating for opponents to come out and vote against stem cell research and vote for Jim Talent as a result. And that was with a campaign in Missouri that spent $31 million passing stem cell by less than one percentage point.
Yeah, the Michael J. Fox commercial became a football there.
And it's a fascinating study of how do initiatives relate to where the public is at, and how do initiatives, which are more complex creatures, relate to that. And so you had voters who, when they saw the Michael J. Fox thing, when they saw Claire McCaskill, the mushy middle, which we're always trying to go after, said, oh, this is a partisan issue. This is now that this has become, like, I'm supportive of this. And then when they saw that those ads and they saw that posturing, they said, this sends a cue to me. I should be against this. So now I'm going to vote against it. So they, the polling dropped, you know, 25 points in the research for those who originally supporting it and then saw this as a partisan issue and therefore pulled their support away. So we have to be smart. Yeah. Some of the issues that we think may work and that work at large for establishing a message may not work as initiatives, so we've just got to do the research and be strategic about where we put these on the ballot and who supports them and what voters they bring out.
Christina, you're smart.
Yeah,
we need more smart people on the progressive political team. What's a website where people can find out more?
It's very simple, ballot.org, ballot.org.
And if you can't spell it, don't go there. Christina, real nice to meet you.
Thanks for your work. Thank you.
Yep, we'll talk to you again. I'm Peter B. Collins. I want to thank you for tuning in. We'll be back at you live again tomorrow from Washington, D.C., here at the Take Back America Conference. We've got a lot of great guests lined up for tomorrow, and we'll tell you all about that tomorrow. I know Susie Turnbull from the Democratic National Committee will be among our guests. We'll see what else happens in the meantime. So join us again tomorrow right here for more of the Peter B. Collins Show from Washington, D.C. Thanks for listening.
Hi, it's Sheila Gale reminding you to listen to my show, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, all about addictions, every Saturday, 4 to 5 in the afternoon, 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, where we deal with addictions, taking the shame and the blame out of this horrible disease. 12-Step Talk, Uncensored, it's about time. Sponsored by Sun Street Centers, Building Healthy Communities, a drug and alcohol treatment center in Monterey County. For more information, call 753-5135, Sun Street Centers.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Flooding after torrential rain in North Texas has claimed at least five lives. Others are missing. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reports the water came up very quickly.
You had waters rising to the first floor, in some cases fairly close to the rooftops, especially if they were in low-lying areas near creeks. The waters did go down quickly, have gone down significantly in most communities from where they were, say, after dawn. But by then it's too late. I mean, the waters have gone down, but what they have left behind is just a trail of destruction.
Hundreds of homes were swamped. Some mobile homes were swept away. The National Guard is helping with search and rescue. Of all the horrors in Iraq, this is among the worst. CBS News Chief Foreign Correspondent Lara Logan reports exclusively on the discovery of an orphanage for special needs children. They were found naked and malnourished, tied and lying on bare concrete floors.
There were 24 boys that were found by the soldiers, some of them tied up outside, some of them inside. They all survived. One of the boys who was lying in a courtyard and tied to a pole, he was completely covered in flies. The soldiers said there were about 2,000 flies on him. They were in his mouth, coming out of his ears, his eyes, feeding on the sores that were bleeding on his body from lying on the concrete.
American troops found the pantry well stocked with food and clothing, but they believe it was being sold by the staff. The man in charge and two other people fled. Two orphanage security guards have been arrested. Coming to the aid of Palestinian President Abbas, Secretary of State Rice announced today that $40 million in U.S. aid is on the way.
We intend to lift our financial restrictions on the Palestinian government.
which has accepted previous agreements with Israel and rejects the path of violence.
Those restrictions were imposed when Hamas was part of the government. Now it's the de facto government of the West Bank, and that's created a humanitarian crisis. CBS News correspondent Richard Roth reports.
Weary and desperate, Palestinians trying to get out have been stuck in a no-man's land on the Gaza-Israel border, where today Israeli troops started pushing them back. Tear gas and warning shots sent the refugees running, and then it got worse, with Palestinian gunmen and Israeli soldiers trading fire. At least one person was killed and more than a